జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి, ఆనందకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, రామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామికి, మాయపూర్ ధామికి, ఉదయపురి ధామికి, జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నమశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాంబికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమామోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. నమామోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానువి దేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాద్యా శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిదా శ్రీ గౌరకరుణా శక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీ మూర్తయే దీనదారిణే రూపారూగ విరుద్ధాప సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే. నమో గౌర కిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామినే గౌర శక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపనూ గౌరాయతే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్తుం నిర్దేష్ట సజన ప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః. వంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ దే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధా కాంద నమోస్తుతే. తం సురదౌపాంగోర్మమ మందమదీర్ఘది మత్సర్వస్వదాంభోజో రాధా మదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీ శ్రీరాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రేష్టాళిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్ రాసరసారంభీ వంశీ వడదడ స్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనిర్గోపేర్గోపినాథ శ్రీయస్తున గౌరాంగీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീമഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ മമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്ര നേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീ ഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപലാ ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പരാശരവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലിംഗൈരി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദിനിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. In the eighth verse, in the Astamala Gita, we're discussing last Sunday, Ye ego vibhadi swata shuddha chetaha prakasha swaroopovi naneva dhishu sharavodagasto yatha bhanuregam sa nityopalabdhi swaroopoham atma. Astamala Gita is saying there that the ഏകോ വിഭാതി സ്വത ശുദ്ധചേതാഹ ആത്മാ ഹൂ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ എവ്രി വൺ ഇൻ ഓൾ ദി ലിവിംഗ് എന്റിറ്റീസ് ഈസ് ഏകം ഈസ് വൺ ആൻഡ് ഏകോ വിഭാതി ഈസ് വൺ ആത്മ ഈസ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് പ്രസന്റ് ഇൻ ഓൾ ദി ലിവിംഗ് ബീയിങ്സ് സ്വത ശുദ്ധചേതാഹ പ്രകാശസ്വരൂപോവി നാനേവ ധീഷു ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് the sun is reflecting. He gave the example also, even if it is in a golden pot or if it is in an earthen pot, there is no difference for the sun. Sun is reflecting in the water,
if the pot is gold or if the pot is made of earth, it does not make a difference, he still reflects. And the same sun is reflecting in the Ganga river also. But whether it is in the Ganga river or whether it is in the golden pot or silver pot or copper pot, it doesn't matter. Sun does not have any ego and it is not affecting the sun. Sun is the same. Atma is the same. Atma is reflecting in all these different places, in different chittam. In different people's chittam, Atma is reflecting. And that reflection depends on the vasanas inside. On the vasanas inside. Because chittam is made of vasanas. It is in the vasana that Atma is reflecting. And that reflection is called the jiva. That reflection is called jiva. So, in one instance, this is where the Astamala Gita is important. That Acharya Swamiji, while he was traveling to the Vishwanatha temple, Shiva's temple in Benares, in Kashi, at that moment this chandala came across with four dogs being held by a rope. And when he saw, he told the chandala to move away from the path. And chandala stopped there and spoke to him in Shastric language and told him, King Gangbambuni Bimbidomba Ramano Chandala Vadi Payaha Pure Chandaramasti Kanja Jadiga Mrityu Kumbhadeo Ambere Pratyek Vastuni Nistaranga Sahaja Anandavo Bodambudi Viproyam Shobajobiyam Timabi Mahan Koyam Vibheda Brahmam. This was the verse this chandala has spoken to Acharya Swamiji. That chandala says to him that, is there any difference of the sun? Because by now Acharya Swamiji has written so many books and so many stotrams glorifying Brahman, glorifying different deities, Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna and many others. And at this time he was established in that truth. And he was going to visit the temple. It was at that time this chandala. Chandala means one who was born on a lower birth in them days. And he asked this question to Acharya. When Acharya told him to move away from the path, because he was having four dogs with him. So normally chandalas are those who eat dogs. And they are considered, because of that, their habits, they are in the lowest level. So he asked this question that Acharya told him to move away from the spot. Chandala asked this question to him. What was that? King Ganga Ambuni Bimbidom Ambaramano Chandala Vadi Payaham. That is there a difference in the sun which is in the water of Ganga and its reflection in the water, in the what is stored in the ditch, or what is in the ditch or the in the house of a chandala, or outcasts? He asked this question. Pratyek vastuni nistaranga sahajan andava bhodam budau viproyam shabachoyam ityamidi mahan koyam vibheda brahma. Then, between the space in the golden pot, he asked the question, the space that is in a golden pot and the space that is in a mud pot, is there any difference between that? The space is the same. And so therefore, you are asking me to move away and you are established in that truth. How come this question has come from you? When he asked this question to Acharya, this chandala has asked this question to Acharya. Acharya at that time replied him, and that is the next words. Jagral Supta Sushupti Suspadadaram Ya Sambit Vrijrambhade Ya Brahmadi Pipili Kanda Tanushu Prata Jagal Sakshini. This is the first verse in the Manisha Panchakam. Manisha Panchakam is five verses written at that time addressing that chandala, accepting chandala's version, saying to him that you are a realized person, that is why you are able to speak like this. And at that time the chandala showed this real form, who was nobody else than Lord Shiva. And the four dogs that has come with him were the four Vedas personified. So they spoke to him, and that truth, what he realized at that moment, what Acharya heard from Shiva, he spoke in this form of what is known as Manisha Panchakam. All verses finishes there, Ityesha Manisha Mama. That is my opinion. He says like that. And there he says that Jagrat Sapna Sushupti Suspudadaram Ya Samvidu Jrambhane. Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. Three states. And if he has attained proper knowledge and realized the truth, if his consciousness is very pure, in that case, in the vacant state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep, he knows that consciousness has not affected. Consciousness is not affected. As you know, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that the three states are not Jagal Sapnam Sushupti Pravartto Gunavartaya Sakshal Vilashno Jiva Sakshityana Vinishchita. That it does not have any impact on the self. What is happening inside us? It is in the vacant state as well as the dream state as well as, and the third, the deep sleep are the product of the three modes of material nature and they have no impact on the self. That's what he is stressing here also. Jagral Sutna Sushuptishu Sputadaram Ya Samvid Vijrambhade. That therefore, and who is the who is the witness of the whole activities that is going on in this creation? That person, and he is present in all the bodies. That Ya Brahmadi Vipiliganda Tanushu. From Lord Brahma onwards, right up to the smallest ant. Brahmadi Pipiliganda Tanushu Pradha Jagal Sakshini. That pure consciousness is the witness of everything that's going on in Brahma and that's going on in the ant. That means the omniscience of the Atma or Brahmam. That is what is spoken there. That Jagral Sapna Sushuptishu Spatadaram Ya Sambit Vijrambhade Ya Brahmadi Pipiliganda Tanishu Pradha Jagal Sakshini. Then Saivaham Naja Drishyavasti Vidi Drada Pratnyabi Yasyasti Ched Chandalostu Sadhu Dijostu Guri Risho Ityesha Manisha Mama. He is saying there that it is the same Atma who is present in the whole creation in the universe. He dwells in Brahma's body as well as the and in ant's body also. And then he is also my guru. He teaches me everything because irrespective of whether he is an outcast or a brahmana, this was his opinion. Whether he is a brahmana or an outcast, the knowledge doesn't change. It is the same. The knowledge that comes from the Brahman, knowledge that comes from the Atma, it does not change. That is the point he wanted to make. So Acharya Swamiji confirms that at that point in his discussions with this Chandala. What we have to understand there is that upadhi can change. For example, we have one kind of body and each of us have a different bodies in different ways. And similarly, different species of life, there also the body is changing. The body is different. So upadhi can change, but what is present in the upadhi, Atma, that cannot change. Atma by nature is the same. It's the same everywhere. It's the same everywhere. So therefore, in upadhi, what is reflecting is only a reflection of the pure consciousness. Pure consciousness, reflection in the upadhi is what we see now. What we are seeing here as jiva. So, every body is considered like a pot, and in that pot, the water in the pot is our chittam, or the what we call as the mind. In this instance, it's both the same. Chittam or the mind, that is the water in that pot. And what you can see there, depending on our vasana, the color of that chittam will change. All of us have different colors of chittam or vasanas inside. Satya Vasana, Rajasa Vasana, Tamasa Vasana. So according to the modes of nature, depending on its percentage, higher Sattvam, higher Rajas or higher Tamasa, according to our Vasanas, this Chittam or the water in that mind or the Chittam will change and accordingly that the reflection will also appears like that. But the original source Atma, who is present Antaryami inside, he doesn't have any change. That tattvam that is reflecting in all the water, in all the vasanas inside the chittam is exactly the same. And knowing that, he says there, yatiryam, he mentions there that yatiryam in the verse he will see. Later on he mentions there that yatiryam naradeva abhi ahamityandaspuda grihyate. Yatiryak naradevam abhi naradeva abhi ahamityandaspuda grihyate. Tiryak means all the other animals and birds and all of them. Tiryaks. Then naram, human body. And in the demigods. In all of them, yatiryak naradeva abhi ahamityandaspuda grihyate. In all of them, each one of us is conscious of our own presence as aham. Aham means that awareness of I, who I am, that awareness. Spuda krihyade. Yad bhasa hridayaksha deha vishaya bhandi svato ajetana. In other words, yad bhasa hridayaksha deha vishaya, that who is separate from the deham, from the body, and he is still present there, irrespective of what body one has, the consciousness and the awareness, or the aham, that awareness, remains the same. Body may be different, but awareness remains the same in everyone. Everyone. What is that awareness? Awareness is this, that I exist. I am there. I am. In all of us, that awareness is present. Bandhiswado chedana. Tambhase pihidarka mandala nibham spurtim sada bhavayan. Yogi nurvrudamanasohi gururityesha manisha mama. Tambhase pihidarka mandala nibham. That he is illuminating everywhere. Arkamandala nibham spurtim sada bhavayan. And that spurti that is coming from that person, it is the spurti. Spurti means the presence of that consciousness in everyone. Yogi nirvrutamanasohi gurirityesha manisha mama. Great yogis, they feel great rejoice or pleasure in holding on to that spurti. Holding on to that spurti. So, whether it is birds, or whether it is a human body, or it is demigod's body, in all of them, this awareness is aham, aham, aham. Idi andespuda grihyade. And that is present in all of us. You can see that it is present like this all the time of our existence. Of our existence. And because it is spudam, because it is all the time present, and we are conscious of that. That is why we exist in this body. Isn't it? I'm able to say I. Somebody else is able to say I am. So all this I understanding is coming from that constant reflection of the presence of Antaryami inside in our vasana. And by whose presence only this dead matter called the body, the mind, the intelligence, all of them are activated as though they all have life in it. Just like the body is moving and body gives impression to the world that body has got its own capacity to function. But actually it is not. Body is a dead matter. But body gives impression to the world that it has its capacity to do things. But by whose presence body gets that strength to show to the world that it is able to function the way it is doing it. So, so although body is jadam, dead matter, mind is also jadam, intelligence is jadam, and everything is jadam, but it appears as though that there is a living force inside, chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is present inside, and by whose very existence, aham bodham, that is present inside, therefore it is reflecting in all these things. Because of that, it appears as though there is life there. Chaitanyam is present there, or chaitanya vastu, and moves around, and actually, it is not moving due to the presence of ahankaram inside. That is the important thing. Ahankaram is not the cause of the ability of the body or the mind or intelligence to function. Ahankaram is not responsible for that. It is coming from the Atma. It's coming from the Atma. Atma's presence is the one that gives the power for the body, for the mind, and for the intelligence to function. Not the presence of Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the jiva, the reflection. Reflection cannot do it. It's actually the original source, Antaryami, Atma, Aham Bodham. He is the one who is allowing the body to operate, the mind to operate, the intelligence to operate. So that clarification is spoken in that verse. Not to misunderstand, then Ahankaram cannot do that. Ahankaram is also a reflection like body, mind and intelligence. The original source is Atma inside, Aham Bodham. So Aham Bodham is giving the power to the body, to the mind, to the intelligence to function the way they are functioning in us. Ahankaram cannot do it. Ahankaram is also another reflection, is a reflection of the Aham Bodham inside. Aham Bodham inside. So that Aham Bodham, like you can see that these are important factors, because normally when we engage in Krishna consciousness also, on Krishna service or Krishna's activities, we think that Atma is engaged in the service, is it not? Atma is engaged in the different spiritual activities. But actually, it is not. Atma is not engaged in any service. Actual engagement is done by Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the one which is doing everything. For example, when we have a lot of distress in life, we pray to Krishna for help. Who is praying that? Ahangaram is praying. Atma is not praying. Because Atma is always aloof from everything. His very nature is that he exists on his own, and by his very presence everything gets done. That's the beauty. When you are praying to Krishna also, you have to remember this, that it is our Ahangaram that is praying for help. Ahangaram that is praying for help. That is an interesting thing, because we all think, I have prayed to Krishna, and we feel satisfied. Who is getting satisfied? Ahangaram gets satisfied. So Ahangaram is that Ahangaram is the one who is present inside and who is declaring, I am, I have done this, I have done that, I have done devotional service, I have done my chanting, I have done many, many things I have done. It's all coming from that thing called Ahangaram. So just like when the clouds are covering the sun, similarly this body, mind, intelligence, all of them, although they are small things in relationship with the Aham Bodham consciousness, but still they cover the Atma. Although they are small things, body is nothing, a small thing compared to the greatness of the soul. Similarly, the mind, intelligence, ego, all of them are small things in relationship with the Atma inside, but still they are able to cover the Atma. They are able to cover the Atma. That is our state. So you can see this when you go to big mountains. For example, like in Kedarnath, Badrinath and many places like that. Suppose you are going on a parikrama round. What will happen is, you won't see the main peak in the beginning. You will be small peaks all around. And when you keep on growing up further and further, you keep moving on to the top of the hill, you will see the real peak somewhere higher than everywhere. Up to that point, you won't be able to see that peak. You will see the smaller peaks all around. So many peaks are there which covers the main peak behind. Because you are standing on the ground level, on the ground, earth, and then you are looking to the top. But these smaller peaks are right in front of you. Behind that is a big peak. But the big peak, you won't notice that because of the is being covered by the lower peaks below that. So similarly, Atma is present inside, but our body, mind, intelligence, ego, they are all like the smaller peaks or the clouds which covers the sun. When the sun is covered by the clouds, we look at it and we think that, oh, sun is covered by the cloud, we can't see the sun. Why we can't see the sun? Because clouds are very small compared to the sun. Compared to the sun, it's very, very small. But that small cloud is sufficient to cover our eye of having the vision of the sun. Our eyes are too small, its capacity. So therefore, small clouds are sufficient to cover our eye. Actually, clouds are not covering the sun. Actually, clouds are covering our eye. That is what we have to understand. This is explained in the Bhagavatam also. You will see in the 10th canto. Clouds, we think, I can't see the sun because there is clouds there. Actually, clouds are not covering the sun. Sun is too big to be covered by a cloud or any amount of clouds. Clouds are actually covering our eye, our vision. And that is why we are not able to see the sun. Similarly, when the clouds have gone, we see the sun. When see the sun. So it is an important statement in the Bhagavatam that when we look at the sun actually covers our eye. Because similarly, this body, mind, intelligence, ego, all of them is covering us. Is covering our realization of the Antaryami inside. Our realization of Antaryami is covered by these different Upadhis. Upadhis are covering them. And so, therefore, therefore, all of them are combinedly called as Ajnanam. Ajnanam or Avidya. All of them together. Body, mind, intelligence. It's all Avidya actually. It has no real existence. So, Ajnanam means it's a small thing. But this small Ajnanam called body, mind, intelligence and ego is capable of covering this big thing called Atma, which is compared to the sun. Which is compared to the sun. Drishti. Drishti is covered by that. And that is what it is spoken there. That that the that that vihidarka mandala nibham, he mentions vihidarka mandala nibham yadhoneka jachu prakashore virna kramena prakashi karodi prakasham anega dhiyo yastadega prabodham sanityovalabdi sarupoham atma. Actually this existence of the Atma is covered in such a way that Ajnanam is capable, Ajnanam or Avidya is capable, all, it's like a cloud, this Ajnanam or Avidya is like a cloud which is capable of covering us, of experiencing the real source, the sun inside, which is the Antaryami inside. So, once that Ajnanam goes away, then it is called Egam Evam Advidiyam Brahmam. It is the Upanishad statement. Egam eva advidiyam Brahma. Egam evam advidiyam. That egam means one, evam advidiyam. There is nothing second existing there. There is only one thing existing. That awareness will come to us. This separate existence, what we have now in our awareness, that will go. And you will realize that there is only one thing that is existing. There is the pot and there is the water in that and there is a reflection in the pot. The pot is there, the water is there and the reflection of the sun in the water. Gadam jalam arkam pratibimbam. So, one person who is intelligent, what will he do? What he will do is that there is only one thing, the sun in the sky. It is only a reflection in the pot. He will know that. So he won't value the pot and he won't value the reflection either. He will give importance to the source. He will give importance to the source. Source is the sun. And the sun's reflection and the pot he won't value. Intelligent person. Whereas a less intelligent person who doesn't have knowledge of the self, he will say, oh, the sun has fallen into the water. And he will feel bad about it. And some like children will say, if the water is muddy, he will say, oh, the sun looks very dirty. Or the sun has got, if the water is colored water, he will say the sun looks reddish. Or sun looks green. Or sun looks yellow. Depending on the water color. That is Ajnanam. Jnanam means not seeing the pot, not seeing the water, and not seeing the reflection in that. Seeing the original sun, That is called jnanam. This is the difference between jnanam and ajnanam. So, gadam jalam tad arkam arkabimbam vihaya sarvam nirikshitashi arkaha.
If you look into the into Viveka Chudamani,
it has been spoken a lot more in detail about it. That that is where it's coming from. That the same thing what you find here.
Gadanjalam gadgadamarka bimbam vihaya sarvam vinirikshade ekam vinirikshadarka tadastha edit avabhasakam swayam prakasho vidusha yatha tatha.
Ghadam jalam tadgadam arka bimbam vihaya sarvam vinirikshade arkaha tadastha edit tridayavabhasakam swayam prakasho vidusha yatha tatha. Just as a wise person leaves the jar. This is the example. Just as a wise person, he leaves the jar, the water in the pot, and the reflection in the pot, and only sees the sun in the sky, the intelligent person. Which and he knows that. Tadastha edat tadayava bhasakam swayam prakasho vidusha yatha tatha.
Just like how intelligent he has to be, that not able to, not seeing the pot, not seeing the water, and not seeing the reflection in the water. Not seeing the reflection in the water. That is called intelligence. So, he gives up the pot, he gives up the water, and he gives up the reflection also. All the three things he rejects. He rejects the pot, he rejects the water, and he rejects the reflection also. He sees only the original source. That is called intelligence. And that is, it is in the Veda Chudavani, the same thing Asamalika is saying here. Ya ego vibhadi svata shuddha chetaha prakasha swarubobi naneva dhishu sharavodagasto yadha bhanu ekaha sa nityobalabdi swaruboham atma. Stressing that point that atma is one. There is not many. Atma is one. It is the differences in the jivas are due to the presence of different ahangarams in us. Different ahangarams in us. We are all little ahangaram running around all over. And once that ahangaram has gone, then there is only one vastu, one thing, that is Atma, who is present. It's Atma's reflection in our subtle body, in the chittam. That is called the jiva. What we call as jiva is nothing but that. That reflection. And it is this jiva who keeps this world going. Why it's active. So what we don't realize is that when we say that, oh, I've been praying to Krishna. Who was praying? Ahangaram has been praying. It's the Ahangaram who is praying to Krishna also. It's the same Ahangaram. That's who is doing. So, intelligent person, he don't look at the body. He doesn't look at the... He ignores the body. He ignores the mind as well. And similarly, he ignores the ahangaram also. Ahangaram also. Because they are all reflections of the same original source inside. So, when you have rejected all those things, and he goes and hold on to the tattvam what is inside, which one? Antaryami or Atma inside. He holds on to that. Doesn't hold on to ahangaram, doesn't hold on to the mind, doesn't hold on to the intelligence, doesn't hold on to the body. So, as long as we are identifying with the body, mind, intelligence or ego, we are holding on to the false thing. They have no reality. Because they have all come from the prakriti. The reality in us is only one thing, that is Atma. Rest everything in us is unreal, for which we are holding on to. We are holding on to. Therefore, because of this reason only, that when we are engaging in spiritual life also, or executing bhakti, you should not bring your ahangaram into it. You see that? When you are executing bhakti also, you shouldn't bring your ahangaram into it. If you brought your ahangaram into it, then it is not bhakti. It is not bhakti. And that is the biggest mistake all of us do.
we hold on to our ahankaram and then we execute. That is the reason why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it, that manmana bhavamad bhakto, sorry, mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjanva. Why did he say mayasakta manapartha? For this reason. That keep your attachment to me, that me referring to Atma inside. Keep your attachment to me, the Atma, not to the ahankaram. Don't hold on to ahankaram and engaging in bhakti. That is not bhakti anymore. Then it is another activity of the ahankaram. That is a very clear demarcation there, difference there. And again, jaramarana mokshaya mama ashritya idandiye. What is that mama ashritya means? Mama ashritya means that you have to take the shelter of Atma, andaryami inside, not to take the shelter of ahankaram. That's an important principle. And when we don't understand this difference between the ahankaram and the Atma, what we'll do? We will hold on to our ahankaram and we'll hold on to doing our bhakti also. Bhakti will be growing on one side, ahankaram also will be growing on the other side. That's not good. So, when we are executing bhakti, therefore only Krishna is present. There is no ahankaram has any role there. Ahankaram has nothing to do there. And when you continuously glorify Krishna, Krishna's different activities, pastimes, everything, if you continuously hear that, that is sufficient, but ahankaram should not be allowed to wake up inside. If the ahankaram wakes up, then it's gone. Then it has become the ahankaram that is engaged in that. So, in that process, in bhakti, what is actually happening is, in the process of glorifications, ultimately, you are getting dissolved in that. The so-called you, ahankaram, is getting dissolved there. So, so all the surupa lakshana means the symptoms of the surupam, Krishna surupam. That surupa lakshana has been spoken, and attention is all the time on the surupa lakshana. And when it comes like that, gadam jalam arka bimbam. So, at that time, it is at that time that you are rejecting the pot, the water, and the reflection, everything. And just like you reject the pot, the water, and the reflection, and only see the sun in the sky. Similarly, you reject your mind, you reject your body, and you reject your ego. When all that is gone away, that means there is no more ego or personality anymore there. That is proper execution of bhakti. In proper execution of bhakti, ahankaram cannot be there, cannot be present there. So, what is that present then? Only Krishna is present there. Atma is present there, nothing else. And that is why in the Upanishad says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Only Ishvara is there. We don't exist. We are existing in this form of ahankaram and that's gone. So, nothing exists except Krishna. Except Krishna, nothing exists. Or Atma. Nothing else has any justification to be present there. Body is not present, mind is not present, intelligence is not present, and ego, false ego also not present. Only one tattvam, Atma, present, alone present there. So, that is why saying there, sa nityobalabdhi surubaham Atma. Nityobalabdhi surubaham Atma. So, and he says here, that tattva surubam Atma is me. Who says? Hastamalaka. Hastamalaka says, it is that Atma I am. Not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, and not even that reflection, ego. I am not that. So, nityobalabdhi surubaham Atma. So, it is not, I am Atma, I am not Jiva, I am not Ahankaram. I am not Ahankaram. And that is what was spoken. In the ninth verse you will see, Yathaneka chakshu prakasho revirna kramena prakashi garodi prakashyam aneka diyo yasthadega prabhodam sa nityobalabdhi surubaham Atma. That in the ninth verse, that is what is spoken. So, this thing called Jiva Jiva, what we say, it is only a feeling inside, due to the presence of the ahankaram inside. That if you strengthen that ahankaram, your jivatvam will get strengthened. If you weaken that ahankaram, then jiva bhavam will go from inside. Jiva bhavam will go from inside. So, that's what we say, that jivatvam is only a kalpana. It is only an imagination. It has no reality in any way. So, particularly jiva, as we say, is another kind of brahmam it is, that I am a jiva, because of the presence of angaram inside. Actually, what is present inside is only pure consciousness, pure chaitanyam or living force. And in that living force or chaitanyam, jiva is nothing but a reflection due to the presence of vasana inside. It is in the vasana it is reflecting, isn't it? Vasana is present in the chitta. It is in that vasana, the reflection of alma is what we call it as jiva. What we call it as jiva. So, pure consciousness or awareness, that is the very nature of the swarupam of the alma, not this ahangaram. Ahangaram is not the swarupam of alma. This pure consciousness awareness is the swarupam of alma, not ahangaram. Awareness is different than ahangaram. Ahangaram is ego. Awareness is bodham. Bodham is the nature of alma. Ahangaram is a false thing, which is the nature of jiva. The nature of jiva. So, similarly, that reflection is not me. So, that's what is said there. Yatha eka chakshu prakasho revi na kramena prakashikarodi prakashyam. Aneha diyo yas tathega prabhodam sa nityo bhalabdi surubaham alma. So, aneha diyo tathega prabhodam. But when it starts reflecting in the form of ahangaram, along with that we also have the body, mind and the intelligence. Body, mind and the intelligence. So, because of that presence of the intelligence and presence of the mind, which is present due to the reflection, anekadiyo yas tadhaiga prabhodaha yas nityo bhalabdi surubaham alma. With the result of that, due to that reflection, the body has come, the mind has come, the intelligence has come. Intelligence has come. So, and that is this big statement in the ninth verse. Yatha aneka chakshu prakasho revirna krameena prakashi karodi prakashyam anekadiyo yas tadhaiga prabhodam sa nityobalabdhi surupoham alma. Sa nityobalabdhi surupoham alma. That is what was spoken in that ninth verse. And then here, you will see here, that this realization, what Hastamalaka has spoken, it's not a new thing. He is repeating what he has realized after his spiritual pursuit. In other words, this is coming from the much higher authorities. From Ramachandra, from Vasishta, in Yoga Vasishtam, is exactly the same thing that is spoken there also. Therefore, Acharya Swamiji, when he said, Adi gambhira bhava yathatmyam mukti nibandhanam mamandarena utprekshitam nashakhyam. Acharya says there that this realization, adi gambhira bhava yathatmyam mukti nibandhanam, already freed from the bondage, he says. It's already freed from that. Liberation has already happened. Mamandarena ulprekshitam nashakhyam. And it is impossible to express that state through words. You can't express that state through words. You can only put it in this way, the way we have spoken about it. But to express that through words, that state of realization is not possible, says Acharya, says there. So, because actually that is the real truth of Alma. Alma Satyatvam. Satyatvam means that Alma's reality, because it's a real thing. It's not the shadow. Like all other things are shadows, isn't it? Body is a shadow. Mind is a shadow. Intelligence is a shadow. And Ahangaram is also a shadow. Everything is a shadow. Real substance inside is Alma. Everything else is a shadow. And because it is the real thing, you can't say anything about it because it is so real that there is nothing else exists apart from that. So, Acharya says here that this reality of Alma, Alma Satyatvam it is called. Satyatvam means that reality of that existence. This cannot be spoken by words except in the presence of the realized souls or the jnanis. You can experience that and you can't even imagine that in your mind, in your head. You can't even imagine that. That reality inside. How to imagine that? Because we never got it before. Therefore, we can't imagine that. And through words, he's saying, because as much as we are talking about anything, it's always being spoken through the words and mind and the intelligence. It's always in that level when we talk, isn't it? So therefore, it's not possible to express that even through words, he's saying there. It is the same thing you will see in the Shruti Gita, he's saying. Words, mind, intelligence has no access to the spiritual reality. This is the fact. Words, mind, or intelligence has no access to the spiritual reality. So only when you hear from the realized persons, only at that time you may be able to feel something out of it from them, that what that means, what self-realization means, what the truth means, satyam means. And once those who have realized that satyam, that truth, for them the remaining part of their life is full of happiness. After they have realized it, the remaining part is full of happiness. When Vasishtha was talking to Ramachandra, this in the Yoga system, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra like this. Vasishtha is teaching Ramachandra. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra that after realizing this truth, and even if you have no other way of living in this world, even if you are so poor that you can't make a living in this world, even if you have to go to the street of the Chandalas, where the Chandalas live, dog eaters, where they live, even if you go there and beg for food, even then the life is glorious, provided you have realized the truth. If you have realized the truth. He says, it doesn't matter what you do after that. Whatever you do in this world is no significance after realization of this truth. This is how Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra in the Yoga Vasishtha. He says to him, after realizing this truth, do whatever you have to do in this world, doesn't matter what it is. Even if, because normally going to the Chandala street is considered to be not very good because of their habits, isn't it? But even if you go there and beg for the food from them to maintain this body, because you are separated from the body already, you come out of the body. So therefore it's irrelevant how you get your food, where you get your food, and what you eat. All these are irrelevant, says Vasishtha to Ramachandra. He says, but without realizing this truth, even if you live as an emperor in this world, it is worse, he says. That is how they compared. Without realizing the truth of the knowledge of the self, even if you are an emperor in this world, it is still bad. That is the way Vasishtha puts it to Ramachandra. Look at the words. Varam sharavahastasya chandalagare vidhishu bhikshartha adanam rama nau maukhyer katha jividam. This is that verse in the Yoga Vasishtham. Varam sharavahastasya chandalagare vidhishu bhikshartha adanam rama nau maukhyer katha jividam. Maukhya means murghada. Murghada means cobra nature. Murkha is a cobra. So murkha's nature. So because of murkhatvam, or that nature of that snake, which means that you have ignorance inside. Murkhan is considered to be ignorant. Because of that, that Rama na mokhya kata jividam. That life should not be spent like a murkha. Like a murkha. Murkha means mota, in other words. Like a mota. So, because Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, the very root cause of all the distress in this world is ignorance. All the distress in this world is ignorance. Just like in the Ayurveda, for example, that they will classify into air, bile and mucus. Isn't it? Vatam, pitam, kapham. And they will say, Ayurvedic physicians will say, the imbalance of these three things has caused the disease. And they classify everybody into one of these category, isn't it? Air, vatam, pitam or kapham, any of them. And they will say that one of these three are responsible for the illness in the body. That's the Ayurvedic analysis. They say like that. But Vedantam says that there is only one cause for all the problems, which is ajnanam. Which is ajnanam, ahankaram, avidya. That's what it is. So, what is that ajnanam? Ajnanam means not knowing oneself who he is. That is our main problem. Before we knowing Krishna, we have to know ourselves who we are. And then only you have to, once you have known yourself, then you will know Krishna, what Krishna is, isn't it? So, that is the only problem. So, all other problems are coming from this one basic ignorance, not knowing yourself, who we are. So, that is why Vasishtha Maharshi is saying here to Ramachandra, Sharavahastasya, Sharav means this earthen pot. And if you take the earthen pot and go into the Chandala's street, and you go begging there for food, even that it's not bad thing, says Vasishtha to Sri Ramachandra. Now, Morkha Kada Jeevitam, but don't live like a Morkha. Don't live like a Murkha. Varam Sharavahastasya Chandalagara Vidishu Bhiksharta Adanam Rama Na Maurkhya Kada Jeevitam. So, in other words, don't live in the world like a Ajnani, as an ignorant person, not knowing the truth, always stuck into the body and the mind. That is the advice. That is our main problem, isn't it? We get stuck to the body and the mind and live in that ignorance all our life in this world. Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, come out of that, don't live like that, because even if you have to go and beg in the Chandala street for food, still if you have realized who you are, it is a much higher, honorable living than an emperor who lives in this world without knowledge of the self. That's how he puts it. Remember that story of the Patanathar we mentioned before, what happened to him? Patanathar's story is very famous because when Vairagya Shalakam was written, remember the Vairagya Shalakam, Bhartrahari. Bhartrahari meets up with Patanathar together. They have a conversation. And Vairagya Shalakam was compiled later. Patanathar's position, Patanathar became famous through that. That Vairagya Shalakam, if you read that 100 verses of Bhartrahari, you will see there. Patanathar was a big zamindar. He had a large tracts of land and very, very wealthy person, pearls, business and all kinds of, he's a businessman he was. And he used to go and see the king often in them days, that part of the land where the king was. And he used to carry, when he goes to visit the king, he used to carry jewels with him to present it to the king. And he used to give all the time jewels as present to the king. So that person suddenly, he developed vairagyam inside. Renunciation happened in him. And he had one son, I think I've mentioned this story before. That when he was 13 years old, that child left him, the son left him. Subramanya came as his son and left him. And while leaving, he handed over a little box to his mother and told her that keep this box and open up when a father asks for that. When he opened up the box, all he could find was a broken needle inside. Broken needle inside. Along with that, a song was written and left there. Well, the song says that even this broken needle you won't be able to carry with you when you leave this place. And the son left that home. So, Subramanya came and taught the father this lesson, and that made him to wake up. Patanathar woke up from that illusion in his head that the world is permanent, my wealth is permanent, I am such a rich person, I am so closely connected with the king. He had free audience with the king whenever he wanted to go and see him. In them days, king's rules were very, very strong, weren't they? So when he decided that, when he got this message from Subramanya, it came. Subramanya's message. Subramanya means one who has got the best Brahmanyam. The first class Brahmanyam inside, that is Subramanyam. The word itself is a reflection of that. There is in the Shivaranam, Subramanya instructing Lord Shiva about Jnanam. He talks to, son gives to the father the instructions of the knowledge of the self. So, because it came from him, it had immediate impact on Patanathar. Patanathar gave up everything, threw everything into the street and walked out from the house. And goes and sits there with a cowpeen, wearing only a cowpeen in the Gopuram, one of the towers of the Chidambaram temple. So the king came to know about this, that Patanthar has left his business, everything, threw away all the wealth. While leaving, his manager, who was managing all his businesses, he says to Patanthar, you should at least write it down, whom should every property should be given. He says, throw the whole thing in the street, he said. That vairagyam inside. You see, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see the same thing. When Parikshit Maharaj, when that vairagyam came to him, when he got the message that in 7 days he has to leave the body, what did he do? He walked out of his palace, did he not? He was the emperor of the whole planet, and he walks away from the palace, says to him, what is it for me now? In 7 days time I'm leaving here. What does it all mean? Parikshit says there in the Bhagavatam, is it not? So same thing happens to many, many people, big people. When they walked out from this world, how they walked out from here. That while living here itself, Patanthar did the same thing, and the king came to know. So king came to see him in the one of the towers in the Chidambaram temple, where Patanthar was sitting there with a begging bowl, wearing simply a cowpin, he was sitting there. So the king comes to see him. And when the king came to see him, he didn't even get up. He sat there. King was standing in front of him. Previously, king used to sit and he used to stand in front of him. Now, Patanthar is sitting there and the king is standing in front of him. So he is asking him, king is asking, what did you do? Why did you do all these things? What did you gain from doing this thing? King could not understand. He's asking him. So his reply was, earlier I used to stand and you used to sit. Now you are standing, I am sitting. That's what I gained. That's how Patanthar answered that question to him. So, in other words, he's saying that I am comfortable now. Previously I was not comfortable because I had so much on wealth with me and I didn't know what to do with it. So, king is saying here, so the important thing is that he is not a slave of anything anymore. That is what it is showing to us, that this wealth has created a slavery around him. So this complete freedom will be there in all the realized souls. They will feel totally free in this world. When you have a lot of things in this world to care for, then you are bound, is it not? Like people are bound in the family, bound by the wealth. Actually, it's all a bondage only. Everything is a bondage. For the ahankaram gets bound like that. We get bound by the body first, by the bodily extensions first, and then bound by the wealth. Whatever we have struggled hard life, that becomes a bondage for us. And at the end, Prakriti does it in such a way that it takes us away from here and we can't do anything about it. All that what you are caring for the whole life, for the body, the wealth, everything goes away. So from this you can understand that ahankaram is the cause behind all the distress. Because ahankaram is the one that is holding this strong grip on everything, to the body as well as the mind and the intelligence, ego, everything. So that ahankaram creates a slavery. Ahankaram creates slavery. So when the ahankaram has completely gone from inside, what remains there is pure consciousness. That doesn't create slavery. There's no slavery anymore. So total freedom is actually self-realization. In other words, remember that story about Ramatirtha. Swami Ramatirtha's story, if you read, you will see there. He went to America. At that time Roosevelt was the president. So Ramatirtha never used to speak in terms of I or you. He says Rama, Rama. That's the way he called himself as Rama. So there were some disciples of him. Roosevelt was coming to see him, president. So the disciples told Ramatirtha that you shouldn't use words like that. Rama did this. The president will not be very happy about that if you make a statement. Like, it shows a lot of ego behind it, isn't it? So when Roosevelt came, when the disciples told him, Ramatirtha laughed. Because his realization is like that. What can you do? So when Roosevelt came, he says, Emperor Rama, calls himself as Emperor Rama, he says. So Roosevelt was shocked. Who is, why is he saying like this? He is only a president. But here he says he is higher than that. Emperor Rama. So Roosevelt asked him, why do you say Emperor Rama? He says, your job is only for 4 years. After that you are gone. The job is finished. But for me, I am always emperor in my world. Swaraja Samrajyam. That empire of the self is much wider. Because I am not on the bodily level anymore. Completely fixed in the platform of the soul. There I am independent. I am totally free. There is no ahankaram inside. And actually, because there was no ahankaram inside, Roosevelt didn't get hurt when he said that. He didn't take it. He found that it's coming on a statement from a realized soul. That's how he took it. Never felt any unhappy about it. So, therefore, he says here, that shanti or anandam that comes from that vastu in its pure form, that nityobalabdhi surubohaṁ ātmā. Again, Hansamalaka is confirming that is my state. Nityobalabdhi surubohaṁ ātmā. And Hansamalaka is saying here that it is always present and it is never disappeared. That is the beauty of that. It does not change. It's always in that state. Ahankaram is not like that. Ahankaram changes. Whereas Atma or Swarupam, Swarupam is Atma, Nityobalabdhi, is permanently there and it does not have any variations there. It does not have any variations here. So, important thing, Asavalanga says that it never disappears, he's there. But we don't see it. We don't see any of these things, isn't it? We are saying how to realize that truth and how to engage in meditation. We are asking all these questions. How to realize that truth, isn't it? But Asavalanga, who is seeing the truth, who is experiencing the truth, he is saying to us, accept that truth, nothing else existing here. As far as he is concerned. As far as he is concerned, body is not existing. Mind is not existing. Intelligence is not existing. Ego is not existing. They have all gone. But we are sitting in this body, mind, intelligence and ego, and we are saying how to realize that. He is saying to us, only that is existing. None of these things, what we say, yes, body, mind, they don't exist. As far as he is concerned. That is the difference. This is the only way to make that clarity. So, when he looks around, wherever he looks, he is only seeing that Atma. Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Atma. He says, that is what I am. That's what I am. You will see sometimes, you know, this modern paintings. Very complicated, isn't it? In modern art, when you go to these art galleries and all that, some big artist will present his paintings. What you've done in a big canvas, they would have fixed on the wall. If you look at it, you won't understand anything. What is this about? Some few colors he would have taken and put it like this and crosswise and so many things, and at the bottom he would have written his name or something like that. So, people go to art gallery to see all these things, isn't it? So when you go there, you don't understand when you look at it first time what it is. But later on, somebody, the artist himself, who had a much deeper vision, he comes and explains to you what it is properly, when he explains to you. Then you slowly start seeing what it is. And afterwards, again, if you look at it, you can only see what he said to you. You can't see the thing what you thought before about that art, what he has created. This is the difficulty with this modern art. It's not so straightforward. It's a bit like spiritual life. You look at it, there's never a clue what is going on. So that is what he says there. It's like for example, there's a photograph, some art, modern art like that. A king is sitting on the top of a horse with the sword in the hand. And when you look at it, you can't understand where is the king, where is the sword. Nobody has told you anything. You're just looking at the picture. And you haven't got a clue what it is. So, then you are kept looking, trying to figure out yourself what it is. You're looking from different sides and trying to imagine something in your mind. But once somebody has given you a clue how to see it properly, what it is, what is actually meant by the artist, then you can only see that after that. Then you can't see anymore in the like the previous, like you thought about it. Similarly, this Satyam, what he is saying here, Nityovalabdhi Swarupaham Atma, once you have seen that Satyam or truth, your vision becomes Jnanamayam. It is completely filled with knowledge then. And drishti jnanamayam krutva, drishti jnanamayam krutva pashyam brahmamayam jagat. Upanishad says that once your vision is corrected and it is filled with knowledge, drishti jnanamayam krutva, then anything what you see in the creation is all brahmamayam. Pashyat brahmamayam jagat. The whole world looks brahmam, is present there. So, and that is how it is. Drishti becomes jnanamayam. Drishti becomes jnanamayam. Drishti jnanamayam. If our drishti is not correct. Our the moment our drishti is in a illusion, isn't it? Jnanamayam. But when the drishti becomes jnanamayam, pashyat brahmamayam jagat. All our vision becomes brahmam. Nityobalabdhi swarupaham atma. And what all happens at that time? At that time, what realization, how it comes? First thing you realize that there is no such thing called birth and death. When self-realization happens, immediate impact is you realize that there is no such thing called birth and death. This birth and death is a Brahmam it is. It's an illusion it is. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Birth and death is for the Ahankaram. Birth and death is for the Ahankaram, not for the Atma. So first thing is, thing called birth and death goes away. Birth and death goes away. Because we don't have that subtlety in us, subtle vision in us. Therefore we always frightened about death. Always frightened about death. Similarly, next thing is happiness and distress. You also realize that this thing called happiness and distress is also false. Because that is duality, isn't it? Dvandvam it is. Happiness and distress. It's dvandvam. That also has no meaning. And because the nature of Atma is eternal bliss. Anandam, eternal. Eternal means unbroken. It has to be. That we haven't experienced it. What we are experiencing is the temporary happiness of the body and the mind. And the temporary miseries of the body and the mind. That is the important thing. That because we don't take these things seriously, therefore we suffer. What Krishna is saying also in this Bhagavatam, also it's the same thing spoken. That if it was a real misery, it can never be taken out. You know, any distress, if it is real, it cannot be taken out. It has to be there. Because the very nature of Atma is like that. It is permanent. So distress also, that is why you can see all distress in life, it comes, gives you some problem for some time, and then it goes. After a while, it does not have any more same intensity like before. We all have gone through a life now, and we have suffered in different ways at different times. Is it not? They have all come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. When your children, you got ill with various illnesses, they have come and they have gone. It's all forgotten now. When you became young, you had other responsibilities and problems in life, they had come and gone. Now in the old age also, other problems are coming, and they will also come and go. Because why is that they're coming and going? This coming and going cannot happen with Atma. It can only happen with the mind. Mind. So that is why this clear demarcation is necessary in life. Otherwise you will simply suffer due to that. Thinking that, oh, I am suffering, why did this happen to me? We will think like that. Actually, nothing is happening. What is happening is all this impact on the mind. So, birth and death is also another experience in the same way, happiness and distress. And similarly, illnesses, bodily problems. That is all for the body. So, body, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego either. And as Acharya says, Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham. Shivoham so. And that's the same thing, that this one vastu, which is present in all the different bodies, at the same time, and they are all illuminating different bodies. One vastu present in all the bodies at the same time, illuminating different bodies. And how is that? This one vastu is able to activate so many different intelligences and so many different chittam or vasanas inside at the same time by his presence. That is the next verse. He's saying that. Ninth verse.
Yatha neka chakshu prakasho revirna kamena prakashi karodi prakashyam aneka dhiyo yasthadhega prabhodham sanityovalabdhi surubaham alma.
So, yatha neka chakshu prakasho revirna. So, one sun is able to illuminate so many eyes, isn't it? There's only one sun. But in that one sunlight, all of us are able to see. The same sunlight is coming. All of us are able to see. So, similarly, one sun is supplying sufficient light for all the eyes to see. For all the eyes to see. And when the sun rises, everything starts functioning. Is it not? When the sun rises, everything starts functioning. Every living being in this world is able to function as soon as the sun comes. The sun's impact on us. Just being present there, he's not doing anything. He just comes and stands there. All of us are in action. No matter what kind of species it belongs to, we are all able to function at the same time. Similarly, he says here, aneka, that's why I say, yadha neka chakshu prakasho revir. That, this revi, sun, due to the sunlight, kramena, yadha neka chakshu prakasho revir, now kramena prakashi karodi prakashyam. Then it is able to illuminate so many eyes all over different bodies and able to make them to function. Similarly, aneka dhiyo yas tathaika prabhodam sa nityo valabdi swarubaham alma. It says, then at the same time, aneka dhiyo yas tathaika prabhodam. That means this alma who is present inside is one, but he is capable of making all different bodies who have got different chittam inside. We all have different vasanas inside, isn't it? In spite of our vasanas being different, Atma being present inside is able to make this body to function according to the vasana inside, although the vasanas are different in different people. See that point? That is what he is saying. Anekadiyo yas tathaika prabhodam. Prabhodam means it brings bodham into the person. Awareness into that person. We wonder sometimes why we act independently, isn't it? Everybody acts in different way in this world. Different way we react to this world, in this world. We all react in different ways. Why do we react different ways? Due to our different vasanas. But to react to any situation, you need some power inside to react. But that power is coming from the Antaryami inside. And that Antaryami has got this capacity to activate our different vasanas in different way, although he is one. See that? Antaryami is one. But in different bodies, when he is present, according to the vasana that is present in that particular body, he is able to move that body and the mind and the intelligence according to the vasanas by the force of the Antaryami. But that Antaryami is one. That is his speciality. Antaryami's speciality. That's what is spoken. An example is given, like the sun who is present, he comes in the morning. When he comes, we are all able to see. The same sunlight we are all able to use with our eyes and able to see the different objects, able to operate in this world. So he said, aneka dhiyo yas tathaika prabhodam sa nityova labdhi swarupoham alma. So here, one vastu, the two things are here. One thing is, always to remember that Atma Vastu is one. There is no many Atmas. People always ask this question, isn't it? How many Atmas? My soul, your soul, his soul, their soul. And then we ask the other religions, they are saying there's no souls in the dog or animals, only souls in the human body. No, soul is the only one what is there. There's nothing else except the soul. And Atma is one. There cannot be so many different Atma, pure consciousness it is. So at one same time, it's able to illuminate different vasanas in different bodies, chittam. So, and because this reflection of Atma is present in everyone, as in the form of ahamkaram, isn't it? So, but that ahamkaram reflection is dependent on the original ahambodham. Original ahambodham. So, ahambodham is ekam advayam. Ekam means one, advayam means one without a second. One without a second. So, in the presence of that ahambodham, when the ahambodham is there, all of us will have ahankaram. And this ahankaram is separate, one to another. It varies. Ahambodham cannot vary. So, aham, as long as this, in the presence of this ahambodham, all of us will say, will keep saying, I am, I am, I am. That is how this I am came. I am came in the presence of ahambodham. Suppose ahambodham goes away, then there is no I am anymore. I am cannot survive anymore. Where is I am then? I am is only a reflection of this ahambodham in the vasana inside. So, that ahangaram, that mula vastu, or the root of all these things, that is why it says, ekam evam adviriyam brahmam. So, that is, this is the only thing Upanishad is repeating all the time. In all Upanishads you will see, it is, ekam evam, ekam eva adviriyam brahma, neha nanasti kinchana. So, Shruti, Vedam is stressing this point very strongly. There is only one vastu here, that is Atma. He may be reflecting in different parts, like the sun is reflecting in different forms. Neha nanasti kinchana. Evam means, evam, why that evam? Evam means stressing that again. Stressing that again. Adyadiyam, there is no two. There is no two things here. Tatuha nanatum kinchana asti. And there is not even the slightest trace of variegatedness. Not even slightest trace of variegatedness. Vastu is only one. That is the final and firm conclusions of all the Upanishads. All the Upanishads. And realizing this, that there is only one vastu, that is called solitude in the Shastra. If you realize that there is only one vastu, that is a solitude. That is a proper solitude. Otherwise, even if you go and sit in the forest, it's not solitude. Whereas if you realize this, then there is only one vastu, ahambodham, that is there, plus one consciousness. Like you remember, Sudeva Goswami said that tam sarvabhuta hridayam munim anatosmi, that awareness. Sarvabhuta hridayam, in all living entities, munim anatosmi. Sudeva Goswami says, I pay my obeisances to him. So, if we don't have this realization, even if you go and sit in the forest, what will happen is that we will develop our own samskara there. If you don't have this realization. If you have this realization, no matter where you are, it won't have any problem. It won't create any problem. That is why in the Upanishads and also in the Ashtavakra Gita and all, this is spoken very strongly. For example, Janaka Maharaj, King Janaka, was sitting in this palace. At that time, some sannyasis came to see him. And they have got a doubt about Janaka. They are saying there that you are saying that you are a realized person, and you have realized the truth. You have realized the truth. But how can you stay in this palace and conduct all this administration of the kingdom in the way you are doing it? And how come you are so peaceful even while conducting all this administration? Janaka says to these visiting sannyasis, where am I sitting in the palace? He says. And where am I sitting in the middle of the people? Aho janasamuhopi. Janaka is saying this. He is not seeing himself as the king or the emperor or on the bodily platform, completely fixed in the platform of the soul. He is saying to him, who am I? It is in the Ashtavakra Gita. If you read, you will see there that he says there, Aho janasamuhebi na dvaidam pasyato mama. Aranyam iva samrutvam kva ratim karavanyaham. Says, Aho janasamuhebi. Who's saying I am in the middle of all these people? Because that was the rishi's doubt. The sages who came to see him, they're saying to him, how come you are able to conduct the affairs of the kingdom, Vyavaharam, in other words, how you are able to do that, and you are still saying that you have realized this truth? So his reply was, Aho janasamuhevi, even though I am the middle of all these people, na dvaidam pasyato mama, I don't see any duality. Janaka was a very exalted person, wasn't he? He was so exalted. Can you imagine? Krishna is quoting Janaka as an example in the Bhagavad Gita. So that means how exalted he has to be quoted by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Astido Janakadeya. He says, Janakadeya, from Janaka onwards there are great, great kings have executed this Brahmanishta. They have followed this Brahmajnanam and realized the truth. And the example he has used is Janaka. So you can see, and Sukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavatam about that family of Janakas. He says all the families will be householders and they will all be self-realized persons. That is how he gives them a special glorification in the Bhagavatam when talking about Janaka's family. So, Aho Jana Samohebi. Even though I am in the middle of all these people, na dvaidam, there is no duality for me, because Janaka is only seeing that one truth in everybody. Therefore, you can imagine his vyavaharam also. Na dvaidam pasyato mama aranyam iva samvrtam. Although I am present here, as though I am sitting in the forest, there is not much difference. He is not affected by the... You see, while we are affected by others because of the ahankaram, when ahankaram is there, one ahankaram will be affected by another ahankaram or another ahankaram. It is this ahankaram makes us feel that we are all separate entities, and ragam dvesham follows from that, and from that the other problems that comes from that. So, aranyam eva samrutvam ko ratim karavanyaham. So, because ko ratim karavanyaham, there is nothing existing outside me, he says. That means he is not speaking from the platform of the body. See, he is completely speaking from the platform of the soul. So that's an important verse. In the Ashtavakra Gita you will see this. Aho janasamuhevi na dvaidam pasyato mama aranyam iva samvrtam ko ratim karavamyaham. Ko ratim karavamyaham. So, he says, for me, one who is sitting in the forest alone, what kind of misery he will experience. He is not having any happiness. Whatever happiness he is experiencing there, is there in me. The experience of a person in the deep forest, that quietness and that serenity of that whole environment, it brings a big change in us, isn't it? If you have gone into a deep forest alone, how you will experience that nature there, it will have a direct impact on you. Completely away from the whole civilization outside, away from the city. And you are in that forest on your own, surrounded by all the nature, the trees, the animals, everything. That brings a special silence inside, shanti inside. He is saying here that right in the middle of all these people, in the empire and the kingdom, I am experiencing that. And nothing is affecting me. And what is the secret of that? Janaka says here, definition. He says there, solitude is not in the forest. Solitude is not in the forest. So, solitude is not in the forest. Solitude is inside this realization. This realization brings that solitude. Brings that solitude. So, one poet wrote like this. He says that this solitude I'm finding very, very difficult. A lot of people you will see, they find difficult with the solitude. They can't tolerate solitude. So, as he says here, point says that if you have no solitude, if you don't know how to have that solitude inside, silence inside, you will not be able to taste the solitude outside. Unless you have that solitude inside, you won't be able to taste the solitude outside. Therefore, he's saying here, Janaka says there, because I have that solitude inside, what he explained in that verse, I do not feel any presence of anybody outside separately. Everywhere, wherever he is looking around, what he is seeing is that same Antaryami present everywhere. Nobody else separately. When we are looking at others, we are seeing the ragadvesham in them, ahangaram in them. And therefore, we feel everybody different, different, different. Whereas a jnani or a realized soul, when he is looking, what he is seeing is same, almost to what is inside him is present in others as well. So there is no conflict there, confrontation there.
Egameva adhidiyam iti guruvake iti sunishchitam etad ekandam ityuktam. Etad ekandam ityuktam says that na madho na vanandaram. He says, na matho na vanandaram. In other words, that not in the mud or not in the forest is the solitude. That means that even if you go and sit in a mud or in the forest, you are not situated in the solitude. Then, egameva adhidiyam. That remaining within oneself without a second person existing inside. Pure consciousness, that is the proper solitude. Guru vakyedi sunishchidam. In other words, a self-realized soul, a spiritual master, and one who has realized this from him, hearing from him, and got established in that, his state is called this ekandastiri. Wherever he is present, even he is present in the middle of thousands of people, he won't be affected by that. Like they say, in the ocean, there is only water present there. And so many things are coming from the ocean, like the waves, the bubbles, the foam, the waves, everything, bubbles, everything, but they all come and go, but basically what is present there is only water. And similarly, even if you are present in among the middle of thousands of people, they are all nothing but these little bubbles that has come in the ocean of pure consciousness. They are nothing but waves or bubbles in the pure consciousness. And they will come up and they will disappear. So, when a wave comes like that, there is no need to feel happy about it. Or when the wave goes away, there is no need to feel depressed about it. Similarly, in this creation, whatever birth and death is happening, whatever it may happen, there is nothing to feel happy about it or to feel distressed about it. This is coming from the realized state, all these statements in the Samaleya Gita. What they are saying to us is that all our existence itself is a false thing in the body, mind, everything. If your existence in the body, mind, intelligence, ego is false, how can you say your experience in that anywhere true? The existence itself is false. What to talk about all your experiences after that? Is there any question of being any reality to it? You can't give any reality to any of our experiences in this world. This is from there, that statement is coming, Brahmasatyam Jagat Mithya. Jagat is mithya because of this. That to express that point, so here he is saying here that vastu, here there is only one, Atma. And in that vastu, nothing has happened. What is happening here, Janaka Maharaj is saying here, that vastu is me. And in this vastu, so lot of creation is happening, lot of universes are being created, and it comes, appears, disappears, one after the other. Ashtavakra had a very detailed argument
You know Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra is there in the Bhagavatam also. You will see about Ashtavakra's story there. Prabhupada mentions that, Ashtavakra's history. He has a body is crooked at 8 different places. So Ashtavakra's story is important. Ashtavakra says there, in the Ashtavakra Gita, he says that different bodies and universes, world, everything is created in this bodham, in the awareness. It is happening. Aham achananda sambhodo bahuda vishwaniyakam udedi astamayandi name buddhi name chayaha. That is the statement, Ashtavakra statement. He is saying there, that Ashtavakra's discussions with Janaka. So Janaka, Ashtavakra is asking Janaka about his realizations on that. So Janaka is saying to him, Ahomati ananda sambhod, ananda sukham bhodau bahudha vishwaniyayam. That in this ocean of awareness, lot of creation is going on in the form of universes, the world, everything. And how do they happen? They appear and they disappear. They rise and they set. Udedi asamayadi name buddhi name kshayaha. And they have no existence and they don't get destroyed either. They come and they go. So Janaka says there, ananda sukham bodhi. Ananda sukham bodhi means he is in the unlimited ocean of bliss. He is situated there. Oh, Janaka. Janaka is situated in the unlimited ocean of bliss. And Sukham Bhuvi means the ocean of bliss. And I am that ocean of bliss. And in me, Bhagudha Vishwavijiha. And these Viji means waves are coming in the form of these different worlds. They are coming and going. They are coming and going. But no matter how many world or universes are created and they have disappeared, name buddhi name kshayahi, nothing is happening to me. There is no change in happening in me, in my awareness, in consciousness, in other words. So you can understand that when Janaka is saying, he is saying from a very higher level. The higher level you can understand from this statement. And that is why Krishna is saying about him in the Bhagavad Gita. Astido Janagadeya. Because of that high state of realization. Extremely higher level. So, you can only imagine all these things sitting here in our place. So, important thing is, he was an emperor, Janaka. And he was in Brahmanishta. Imagine that. Emperor, but in the Brahmanishta. So, therefore he says here, Chakravarti was, isn't it? And he is speaking exactly like the way Hastavalaka is saying the same way. So, jnanis are concerned, there is no differences, whether it is Janaka or whether it is Hastavalaka. There is no difference. They will all speak the same language. But only thing is, Janaka had a prarabdham to be an emperor, like that. Hastamalaka had a prarabdham to be born in the son of Prabhakar. In this way. Two different prarabdham. See how it works. Sometimes when you look at the prarabdham, you can understand how it keeps us all in different situations in this world. It is interesting, in the Bhagavatam if you look, two different prarabdham, how it works. Both are first class devotees, pure devotees of Krishna. One, extremely opulent and wealthy, Ambarish. Other one, totally devastated, poor, Sudama. But as far as their level of happiness is concerned, no difference. Ambarish experiencing the same happiness like Sudama is experiencing. But in their prarabdham, you can see the difference. Ambarish extremely wealthy, Sudama totally poor. But it makes no difference to them, is it not? It makes no difference to them, but it makes difference to us. If somebody asks us, whom would you like to be? You'll say, oh, you go with Ambarish, isn't it? This is us. But for them, no, there's no difference. Ambarish is living in the same state as Sudama. That is why they have been spoken in the Bhagavatam so highly. So, what it meaning is that prarabdham is not an impediment for spiritual advancement. This is the message there. Prarabdham is not an impediment for spiritual advancement. If you realize the truth, but we blame the prarabdham for everything and we surrender to prarabdham finally. That should not happen. That is the message. Not to surrender to prarabdham. Prarabdham, let it come. What can we do? We can't do anything about it. We have already been sent here to go through that. So better thing is to accept that and ignore rest of it. But self-realization, it cannot be an impediment. Sudama executed his Krishna consciousness very well without a penny in the hand. Is it not? The penny in the hand. And Sugar Brahmashi pays his obeisances to him in the Bhagavatam. And Ambarish Maharaj, with all the opulences, he was not disturbed when Durvasa came up to him and put him into all difficulties. It didn't disturb him. He didn't bother about it. It was not bothering him that he had to. What did Krishna do? Krishna send him Sudarshanam to do the job for him. So from Bhagavatam, this is the important message, is that prarabdham, or our destiny, or whatever we call it in this world, it should not become an impediment in our spiritual life. Because we are very weak. That is why we fall. It's not the fault of the Shastram. It's our fault. We are so weak that we are unable to stand up at that time and continue with spiritual life. When difficulty comes, we immediately surrender. We say, oh, we can't do anything about it. What can we do? But no, we should learn to move away from prarabdham. Prarabdham will come and it will give all the problem, because that's already written down when Brahma wrote it down in the friend and sent us here. Go through this all your life and then it's meant to happen that way. What can be done? So, that is why different people have different prarabdham. That's the message. Janaka had that prarabdham to being an emperor and still in the realized state. Astamalaka had another kind of prarabdham. He had to live through that way. And Ajari Swami had another kind of prarabdham he had to go through. And if we, anybody, any of us by fortunate, one day, if you realize the truth, you will also realize the same truth, but prarabdham could be different. There won't be any different at all. So there is nothing to be worried about it, I'm saying, that if I realize the truth, will I lose my job or anything? It won't be like that. You can, if you're working in the kitchen, you can continue to work in the kitchen. Or if you're working in the office, you can continue to work in the office. These two things have no connection. That is the most important thing. These two things have no connection at all. Self-realization and your prarabdham in this world have no connection. That is why Shastram will always tell you, no matter who you are in this world, it's your prarabdham at the end. Whether you're a rich man, poor man, whatever it may be, that is your prarabdham it is. And that is no relationship with your knowledge of the realization of the self. And that is why jnanis have no differences. Remember about that person in Mumbai, Nisargadatta Maharaj. He continued with his prarabdham, what was making BDs, wasn't it? He was making BDs, that was his prarabdham. But he was not affected by that. And many, many realized person, many, many other great devotees and jnanis were going to see him, to inquire from him about the highest truth, what he has realized. And while making the bodies, BDs, he is talking about it. Imagine that. The place where he had his shop in Mumbai, in a very congested area, opposite to a municipal office, which was not maintained very well, very filthy and all that, on top of a building where he was having his little business, where he was making the BDs. He lived there in that condition and he realized the truth.
We think that realization happens in all the palatial temples and the palatial ashrams where all sannyasis are fully dressed up in their saffrons and the dandas. No. You will finally find somebody else somewhere in some corner realizes the truth. It's no relationship with all these things. Difference is in their body. Difference is in the body, not in the realization. And this it's only people who are looking from outside who see the difference. They are not seeing the difference. Sagarata Maharaji didn't see any difference. That is why he was able to do it without any problems. Similarly with Kabir also. Kabir was a weaver, isn't he? He continued doing that rest of his life. That trade or profession, what his family had been doing it. And same thing with Tukaram and many others also, that they did what they had to do in this world for their livelihood. It had nothing to do with their self-realization or the Brahmanishta. So, because they all know, all these realized souls, they know there is only one thing, pure consciousness, nothing else. And that is the symptom of that, their conviction inside. So realized they are about it. And it is on the strength of that this verse was spoken, this ninth verse. Yadha eka chakshu. This is his way of saying that. Who? Kastamalaga is saying like this. Yadha eka chakshu prakasho revi nakramena prakashi karodi prakashyam anekha dhyo yasthathega prabhodham sa nityovalabdi surubaham alma. Once you have realized this nityovalabdi surubaham alma, then all other things have no significance. No significance at all. So, look at the next verse. Vivasval prabhadam yadharupam aksham pragrihnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan yadabhadam abhasam yatyaksham egam sanityobalabdhi suryuvoham alma. Vivasval prabhadam yadharupam aksham pragrihnadinabhadamevam vivasvan yadabhadam abhasayatyaksharekam sa nityobalabdhi surubhoham alma. Yadha aksham. Aksham means eye. Eyes are called aksham. Aksham prati abhasayatyaksharekam. Then aksham means what is present in front of our eyes. Practically, what he is saying there is that pratyaksham means what is present in front of the aksham. Pratyaksham means directly what you can see, isn't it? Or what is present in front of your eyes. You will see these words in the shastram often. Paroksham, abaroksham, pratyaksham, apratyaksham, all these words. So, paroksham, abaroksham we say. But in everywhere you will see this word aksham. Paroksham, abaroksham. And similarly, pratyaksham, apratyaksham. So aksham means eyes. Also you can say senses, all of them. Vivasval prabhadam. Vivasval prabhadam means that has been eyes get their power to see only when there is sunlight. Isn't it? Sun gives the power for the eyes to see. Light has to be there. So when the sun is there in the sky, the eyes are able to recognize the objects. It can only recognize the objects when the sun light is present. So, therefore, eye is considered to be a part of the sun. Eyes are considered to be part of the sun. Actually, sun is present in our body in the form of eye. In the form of eye. That is the Vedic conclusions on that. Sun is the predominating deity. He is present in us in the form of eye. In the form of eye. Similarly, all the other five senses. Earth is present in the form of body. And water is present in the form of blood and other things. And all other elements also. The water is present in the form of tongue as a taste. And air is present in the form of nose, the smell. Sound, yeah, sound in the same way. So, Vivasal Prabhadam, that is what he is saying here. Vivasal Prabhadam Yada Rupam Aksham Pragrihnadi Nabhadam Evam Vivaswan. That means that Vivasal Prabhadam Yada Rupam Aksham. When sun is present, at that time we see the different forms. Na abhadam. Suppose there is no sun, then what happens? Eyes cannot see. Eyes cannot see. Evam vivasvan yadhabhadam abhasa yadi aksham. But then how is sun illuminating? There is somebody who is present inside the sun, and who is illuminating the sun? Who is illuminating? Sun. That is how he is saying here. Vivasval prabhadam yadarubham aksham pragrihnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan. Vivasvan is the sun god. Vivasvan is present in the sun planet. Therefore, sun is able to illuminate the world. You see? It may all look very simple when you look at it. But it is not that simple because we have been conditioned in another way. That is our mistake, problem. That to think the way the rishis are thinking, they are thinking in a completely different way. They are saying to us that sun is present, so you are able to, is present in your eye, so you are able to see. Similarly, sun is able to give the sunlight because there is somebody present inside who is called a vivasvan. He says, pragrahnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan. Vivasal prabhadam yadarubam aksham pragrahnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan. So, Asamalaka says here that that vastu who gives that sun planet to give illumination to the world, that's me. Sun is giving power for us to see things. Our eyes, we are able to function because the sun is present inside. But sun alone on its own also doesn't have the capacity to do it. Sun also requires the presence of Antaryami there. And that Antaryami in the sun and in me is one. That is what Hastamalaka is saying there. They are not different. That Antaryami present in me, he is able to activate my mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And the same Antaryami who is present in the sun is activating the sun. Vivasvan there. So he is able to release the sunlight to the rest of the world. So, sa nityo beladdi surubaham atma. That means, who is present inside that sun planet? That awareness, sun's awareness, aham bhodam. That bhoda vastu, that's me, he's saying. That, because he says there, because I am present there, that's why the sun is shining. Not in terms of the body or the mind, but in terms of that Antaryami present inside. It's the same Antaryami who is present there also. That is why Upanishads are saying, you see how the rishis have seen it completely in a different way. In this modern science, everything is breaking up, breaking up, breaking up. Is it not? And not getting anywhere. They're not able to get anywhere where they are going. Is it not? They keep on researching, researching, not getting anywhere. Whereas rishis, they pulled it together, everything, and they came to this one truth only exist. There is no many truth. There is only one truth. That one truth, when it is present, things happen. All other things happen. Body functions, mind functions, sun shines. In the Bhagavatam it says, the wind blows, and the fire burns, and the water wets. All these power is coming from the same one source, Atma. Remember when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, where are you getting your power from? Body Prahlada says, same source, what you are getting your power to shout at me, it's the same source that's giving me the power to reply back. So source is one. It's the same that that power is one source only. Source is one, but coming through different bodies in different ways, at Jnanam it is. Sometimes you have to look at it in that way also, because in the Bhagavatam you will see these things, that when you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, some instances, certain statements like this, that Hiranyakashipu was looking for Vishnu. And he's saying there, He went looking for Vishnu everywhere. He went to Vaikuntham also, looking for Vishnu. And I couldn't find Vishnu, says there. And he comes back. Now we are thinking here, sitting, oh, he could go to Vaikuntham freely. We can't even go to Vaikuntham. We are sitting here. He went to Vaikuntham and he had come back. And then he says, I couldn't see Vishnu there. So Vishnu says, that time when I knew that he was coming, I went hiding. Where did I hide? In his heart, inside. I was hiding there, he says. So that is why these statements in the Puranam, we must take it in a little different way. It's not completely a location based on that. Same thing with Vrigasura. You remember? Vrigasura and Shiva had a... Shiva gave him this benediction that whomever you put your hand on, he will be turned into ashes. So, first thing he wanted to put his hand on Shiva himself. Shiva himself. First class disciple, isn't it? So, Shiva says to... Vrigasura says, followed him. Shiva's... When he saw Vrigasura's mind, how it's working, Shiva started running from there and Vrigasura followed him all the way to Vaikuntham. When he reached Vaikuntham, Shiva ran inside the Vaikuntham, it says in the Bhagavatam, and followed by Vrigasura. When Vrigasura came inside, Vishnu comes out like a form of a brahmachari and says to Vrigasura, where are you running? What are you running for? You look very tired after running so long, he says. So Vrigasura says, did you see Shiva here? I'm chasing him, he says. Yeah, I saw him, he just ran away this way, he said. But what are you running for? You're not going to find him. He has already cheated you, he said. Like that, the conversation goes on in the Bhagavatam. So, Vrigasura, look at Vrigasura's state. Vrigasura worshipped Shiva, pleased Shiva. Shiva and gave him the benediction, what he wanted. He had the darshanam of Sri Parvati. Parvati is Jnana Sarupini, knowledge personified is, she is. So she had the association with Sri Parvati, she had the association with Shiva. Shiva gave the benediction as well. Then he gets to Vaikuntham and he sees Vishnu. And then what happened? He went to gone to hell after that. You have to look at this way, that we shouldn't read that, oh, it's all high up, everything is fantastic high up there. That once you get there, it's all. So you can see from this, from the Puranams, these stories will come. Association with Sri Parvati, association with the Lord Shiva. And then finally had the opportunity to see Mahavishnu. In the Vaikuntham he gone there. And then where did he end up finally? In the hell. In the hell. What does it mean? It all means only one thing, that if our mentality has not changed, even if you go to Vaikuntham, it's not going to make any difference. That's what it means. That correction is required here, inside us. Our mind and our chittam, if it's not pure, even if you go to Vaikuntham, you can end up in hell. What happened to Vrigasura's story in the Bhagavatam? So these examples in the Bhagavatam is only to indicate to us that it is not so important going back home, back to Godhead. That is not the priority. Priority is how to get ourselves purified here, right now in this body. How to come out of this bodily identity, ragadvesham, and freedom from all our other impurities inside, kamam, krotham, lobham and others. So, vivasyal prabhadam yadarupam aksham pragrahnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan yadhabadam abhasayat yaksham egam sanityovalabdi surubaham alma. So, so if there is darkness, if there is darkness, and if total darkness, then eyes cannot see anything. That shows that it's only the presence of the sun that is actually making us to see. Isn't it? Or the light, whichever way you take it. Evam vivasvan yathabhatam abhasa yaksham. So, but then the question comes, how is the sun illuminating the world? Because there is somebody inside the sun who is illuminating the sun. Who is illuminating the sun? This is Astamalaka saying there. And he's saying, it is me, that same vastu who is inside me, who is illuminating the sun as well. So that bodham vastu, that is pure consciousness, that's me, he says. And he says here, it is because of my presence, Savalaka saying, that the sun is shining. The sun is shining. If you remember, there was one verse where this discussion happened between the Acharya and an old Brahmana in Karnataka. He says, Egashlogi, it's one verse, he summarized the whole Vedanta Tattvam. Kim jodi stavabhanu ahamimo ratrau pradivadikam syadevam revidiva darshanavidho kim jodi akshyamihime chakshustasya nimiyanadi samaye kim dirdhiya darshane kim tatra ahamado bhavan paramagam jodi stadam jodi tadasmi prabho jodi tadasmi prabho. So this is Ekashlogi. Ekashlogi means, in one verse, the whole Vedantam is summarized. In one verse, the whole thing is summarized. What he's saying here is that he asked this question that in one old agraham, agraham means where Brahmanas used to live together, near, there you can say a conclave where they live together, an old Brahmana comes to see Acharya and have a discussion together. So the old Brahmana is saying to Acharya Swamiji, this question was raised at that time, says to him that, I'm very, very old person. This Brahmana says, he has lived his life properly. You say, very well dedicated to the Vedic way of life, and he has lived there like that. But very old he has become now, but still has not realized the truth. So he says to him, Acharya, so he came to see Acharya and says to Acharya that, instruct me now so that I will have that realization. Acharya gave this mantra from Kathopanishad to him. That mantra says there that the Kathopanishad mantra says there that if you look, you will see there, it's a famous mantra in the Kathopanishad. It's been quoted in so many places. Natra suryo, natatra suryo bhadi, na chandra tharagam, nema vidyido bhadi, kutoyamam. Kutoyamani tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. That is the 15th mantra in the last chapter. Na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tharagam nema vidyido bhandi kutoyamagni tameva bhandam anubhadi sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. It's a famous, it is in the Upanishads mantram. Prabhupada is quoted in Bhagavad Gita also, I think. So, na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tarakam, he says, in that Brahman there is no sun present, no moon present, or the stars are present. In the absence of all sun, moon, for us we need the sun, moon and the stars to see anything. But in Brahman, in that truth, there is no presence of the sun, because tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhadi. He is able to illuminate everybody. That means all the sun, the moon, the planets, all the stars, they are all shining in the sky because of his presence there. That is what he is saying also here. Oh, Astamalaya. Astamalaya is saying that he is present in me, because of that this body is functioning. And it is me who is present in the sun, and it is that person who is present in the sun is that vastu. So, na tatra suryo bhadi na chandra tharagam. But for him to shine, for Brahman to shine, he doesn't require anybody else. That is the difference. Sun requires his help. Moon requires his help. Stars requires his help. We require the help of his help, as well as the sun, moon and others, for us, our existence, our consciousness. In other words, our awareness. But he does not require anything. Who? ബ്രഹ്മം. ന തത്ര സൂര്യോപാധി ന ചന്ദ്രതാരകം. ന ചന്ദ്രതാരകം നിയമോ വിദ്യുതോ നോട്ട് ഇവൻ ഇലക്ട്രിസിറ്റി നെസസറി. ഭാന്തി കുതോയം അഗ്നി. ഫയർ ഈസ് നോട്ട് നെസസറി. ദീസ് ആർ ഓൾ വിച്ച് ക്രിയേറ്റ്സ് ലൈറ്റ്. ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സൺ, മൂൺ, സ്റ്റാർസ് ഓർ ഫയർ ഓർ ഇലക്ട്രിസിറ്റി, നൺ ഓഫ് ദം. തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാതി സർവം. ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ്, ഹി ഹാസ് ദ കപ്പാസിറ്റി ടു ഇല്യൂമിനേറ്റ് എവറിബഡി എൽസ്. വെദർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാതി സർവം. ഓൾ ഭാതി മീൻസ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഇല്യൂമിനേറ്റഡ്. തമേവ ഭാന്തം അനുഭാതി സർവം. ബൈ ഹീസ് പ്രസൻസ് എവറിബഡി ഗെറ്റ്സ് ഇല്യൂമിനേറ്റഡ്. ആൻഡ് ഹി സേസ് തസ്യ ഭാസ സർവമിതം വിഭാതി. ദാറ്റ് ഓൺലി ബൈ ഹിസ് വെരി പ്രസൻസ് അലോൺ everything works in this world. So you can see the insight of the rishis, how they have found out this realization had come to them from the very deepest core of their heart. They have realized it, this truth. That is why they are boldly declaring in the Upanishads. So Acharya Swamiji quoted these words to this old brahmana. And he mentioned to him that there is no sun present there, the moon or the stars, nothing. And when he say vidyut means, he listens to the lightning. Even that is not present there. And agni, fire also cannot illuminate him. Tameva bandham. But he is present everywhere. And therefore everybody else is getting illuminated. Tasya basa saramidam vibhadi. So after hearing these words, the brahmana stood there, not able to catch it, get it still. He didn't get it, come to him. And he was thinking that there is some light somewhere. You see how difficult self-realization is? It's one side, it is so simple. And the other side, if it doesn't happen, you can't get it with all your best efforts, isn't it? So the Brahmana is saying to him, I have studied all that in Kathaka Upanishad, he says, but still I didn't get it. That is his complaint. He's saying, I've studied that in the Upanishad, but I haven't got it yet. What it is, what is that been talked about? So, at that time, Acharya, this is Acharya's mercy to him. Acharya Swamiji says to him, that leave that behind then. That is when he quoted this verse, Kim Jodhi Stavabhavanumanam Ahima Hanime Ratro Pradivadiyam. That is Ega Shlogi. This one verse he has quoted to him and told him that how do you see this world to get this point across? So it is not the brain or the mind that is realizing it, you see. Brain or the mind, if it was, it would have realized before. But this Brahmana was conscious that brain and mind cannot capture this. It has to come in the experience level, not in the perception level, is it not? So it was not happening in his experience. That is why he was saying, I'm not getting it. Theoretically understood, like we all say, we understood. So theoretically we understand. But in experience level, it hasn't happened. So therefore he says to Acharya Swamiji, then I'm not getting it. That is why he said that. I'm not getting it because I'm getting it in my realization. So that's why Acharya Swamiji again spoke in another way. Through Ega Shlogi, through one verse he says to him, Syadevi, yeah, Syadevam Revidiva Darshana Vidho Kim Jodhi Akhyahime. He says to him, daytime you are seeing how? He said, there is a sunlight I am seeing. Brahmana says, I have the sunlight, so I am seeing him. Okay. What about Ratrav? At the night time, how do you see? He says, Pradipandiyam. There is a light there from the presence of the Deepam or the light. I'm seeing, he said. Okay, he said. Then, through the power of the light of the lamp, I'm able to see. Then, he says, Sadevam Revidiba Darshanadhyo Kim Jodhir Akhyahime. So, in order to see the sun and in order to see the lamp, how did you see them? You are saying that the lamp has helped you to see things, objects. Sun has helped you to see the objects. But who is seeing the sun and the lamp? Who is seeing the sun and lamp? So how did you see the sun and the lamp? How did you see that? He says, with my eyes. Chakshuhu, he says there. That chakshustasya nimiyanadi samaye kim dirdhiyo darshane. Acharya asked him at that time that you are saying that you have seen with your eyes, isn't it? You have seen the sun with your eyes, the lamp with your eyes. In the daytime, you have seen the objects with the sunlight. In the nighttime, you have seen the objects with the lamp. How did you see the sun and the lamp? He says, I saw them with my eyes. That was his answer. I saw them with my eyes. So that means with the eyes you are seeing the sun and the moon and all the other lights, isn't it? Tasya nimilida samaye kim. But when you go into sleep, you close your eyes and you are still seeing, are you not? You are sometimes seeing the sun in the sunlight in the dream. You are closed your eyes. So how you are seeing there? So, and everything in the dream state, you are seeing things very clearly. You are seeing very things clearly. And, for example, when we get old, you have this, eyes becomes blurred, so you use glasses, is it not, to see. Without glasses, you can't read. But, what's interesting is that when you get old, when you close your eyes, in the dream you are still seeing. Without the help of glasses or without anything else, isn't it? And how did I see the dream in the dream state? Dihi, he says that with the power of that intelligence inside, intelligence in me, dihi, due to the illumination from the intelligence. So Ajahn Swami says to him, that's fine. Diyo darshana kim, how did the intelligence was able to see? How is the intelligence able to see? For example, intelligence is working in that dream state also, and intelligence is working now, but who is experiencing that even when the intelligence is present there? Who is experiencing it? Where is it getting registered inside? This was the question. It says there that chakshustasya nimilinadi samaye kim dirdhiyo darshane, that when the intelligence is seeing that darshane, chakshustasya nimilinadi samaye. Nimilinadi samaye means the sleeping time. That kim jyotiyo darshane. How you are able to register that inside. Just like when the eyes are seeing, it's getting registered in the mind. In the dream state, eyes are gone. You are seeing things clearly at that time also. In the dream, so many things you are seeing very clearly. Running, wandering around and eating, sleeping, all kinds of activities we experience in the dream. And you are seeing it. It is also another kind of seeing. You are not seeing with the eyes as such, but you are seeing it. That experience of seeing is there still. So, chakshustasya nimilinani samaye kim dirdhiyo darshane. How you are able to see darshane. Kim tatraha mahato bhaval paramagam jyotirstha tasmi prabho. So, it told him that that buddhi who is experiencing at that time the movements, it is working at that time, now it's not working, but who is experiencing that inside? Somebody outside all these things, outside the mind, outside the intelligence, outside the senses, somebody else is experiencing that, and that's me. Bhavan param jyotihi, and that is the truth. That is how Acharya Swamiji taught him. And as soon as Acharya Swamiji spoke this to him, it is a direct flow of the mercy of the spiritual master. Like electricity is flowing, it flowed from the Acharya direct to that person and he realized it. So what did he say at that time? He said, Kim tatraham ato bhavan paramagam jyotistad asmi prabho. That jyoti is me, he said. He replied that, jyotistad asmi prabho, that is coming from Antaryami. That's where it is coming from. So you see that how highest truth is realized deep within. The highest truth is realized deep inside. Highest truth is realized deep inside. At the very core of the heart, Antaryami reveals the highest truth, not outside. So, and that was Tadasmi Prabho. Saying that, Tadasmi Prabho, I am that Prabho. Saying that, that Vruddha, old Brahmana, went into state of Samadhi. Went into the state of Samadhi and he sat there in that state. And Bhavam Bhavan Param Jyotihi. And Acharya told him that you are that Jyoti, you are not different from that. Because of your presence only, all these things were happening. The sun was shining, the light was coming, the eyes were seeing, and in the dream state, the intelligence was seeing, and even registration was happening. By whom, where? It was happening in that Jyoti, inside, Aham Jyoti. So, take that Jyotis as you, and that Jyotis is present in all of us, all the time, in the form of Bodham, or awareness. Bodhaspurti. Remember in Bhagavadam, the same thing is spoken in many, many different ways. Some or the other, to get this in us. Sometimes Jnati, sometimes what are the other words? Prajna. Sometimes Atma, sometimes Brahmanishta or Sotram, Atma. All different words used in the Bhagavadam. But Vastu is one and the same. Just like Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita, and the same in the Bhagavadam also. In the Bhagavadam also. So, and Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is the nature of that. And it is like the sky present everywhere. Pure consciousness that is. And because... why that consciousness is important is this. Because that consciousness is there, I am there. Otherwise, I am not there. And similarly, because that consciousness is there, the sun is shining. Sun is shining. And because that consciousness is there, moon is shining. The stars are shining. And similarly, because this consciousness is there, this world is existing. It is completely the opposite way. For us. Is it not? That is the sad thing. That is why Vedantam is saying that all what we have got now is nothing but Ajnanam. Avidya. It is in the Ajnanam state we are saying the world is there, I have come here, I am seeing the world. No, actually we are not seeing the world. World is present in me and that is what I am experiencing there inside. So, when that awareness is not there, world is not there, is it not? When that awareness is not in me, where is the world? So, therefore, Vedam says that your awareness is more important than the world. Your awareness is more important than the sun, the planets, all the other stars, all the whole creation. Your awareness is more important. More importance to awareness. And that is the main thing the scientist has left out. That's their biggest problem. Keeping this awareness outside where all these things, they are trying to keep on researching, experimenting, conducting all kinds of inquiry in the outside world. They are not getting it. Day after day, disaster. One form or the other. Isn't it? When you look at their madness, what do you say about that? You know that the space program, something that burned out last night, isn't it? Yeah, Virgin Atlantic. And he's saying, Richard Branson, I think, he says there, oh, I will not give up. He says, this is intelligence. Look at this. What do you say to them? Eh? And this is only going up to the outer space. That's all. Not a long distance. But comparatively, maybe compared to the aeroplanes, maybe a little longer than that. But that angaram inside, the ego inside, how it won't let you go easily. So he is going through his prarabdham. He has to do all these things and in that process you have to give a lot of trouble to so many people. And some people have booked the ticket also to go to space to see what's going on there. See our mind, how it works, how it can trap you in so many ways. So anyway, it's just important thing is that Shastram, Vedantam and Rishis, they have only one message to tell us, go inwards, don't go outside. Outside your research and experiment will all end up like this space shuttle. business. Virgin Galactic or what they call. It will end up like that. Outside research. Inside research, if you go, you will get somewhere. Somewhere you will get, even if you don't get like Hastamalaya or the other rishis, but you will make some progress in life. Otherwise not. So, and more important than that, that all these moments what we are experiencing here, outside in the world, ragam, dvesham, and other emotions, everything, cannot touch that vastu inside. That vastu inside is never touched by any of those things. And that is what we call a spiritual sky. Chidagasham. When we say spiritual sky, our concept is like that, isn't it? There's somewhere up there, some big sky, bigger than this sky, what we see. And something we imagine in our head. There is some sky far out there where we are thinking about going there one day. It's like the space travel. No, the sky is inside. Chidagasham it is called. Because this spiritual sky is inside. Spiritual sky is not outside. So that experience of that spiritual sky is called Anubhuti. And so this spirit material sky, what we call it as, you know, the spiritual sky, material sky. That is why when we talk about all the different expansions, incarnations and so many things in the Puranams, it's all happening in the spiritual sky. It's not happening in the material sky. Because material sky is space. It is space. And therefore that is why it's called Bhutagasham. Because it's one of the five material elements. You see? Because it is material element, that agasham means space. Agasham means space. Because it's one of the material elements, it is called Bhutagasham. Why? Because it's one of the Panchabhutams. One of the five material elements. So it is in the Bhutagasham these things are situated. Which one? The material body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all that. They are all present in the Bhutagasham. And behind this Bhutagasham, there is another psychic world. There is another world inside. And that is the world of Chittavritti. All the Chittavrittis are present there. And that is called Chittagasham. So there are different skies. Bhutagasham is body is present. If you go inside, there the mind is present in another world, another sky or space, that is called Chittagasham. And beyond that Chittagasham is what is known as Chidagasham. Chidagasham, where the self is present, where Atma is present. So going inwards means realizing these things. Bhutagasham, you can't see the truth in the Bhutagasham. Bhutagasham is the most gross manifestations of the truth. So that is why all scientific research is in the Bhutagasham. In Bhutagasham you won't find it. Subtle, more subtle than the Bhutagasham is the Chidagasham. Chittagasham. Chittagasham. That is the psychic world. More subtle than the psychic world is the Chidagasham. So, Bhutagasham, Chittagasham and Chidagasham. Chittagasham is the psychic world, the subtle world, what we call it, these things are present, which on mind, intelligence, ego, all of them are present in this Chittagasham, in the Chit. And then, if you go further subtle than that, much more subtle than that, is the Chidagasham, and that is what we call as the spiritual sky. And it is in that spiritual sky, everything is happening. Everything is happening. For us, there is only one sky, isn't it? And everything is happening in that sky. So, we'll continue after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam Shreyakkaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam kudivardhanam pradipada purnamradasvadanam Sarvatna Subhanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namagari Bhuda Vija Sarva Shakti Tyapida Nimida Smaranena Kala Eda Drishi Tava Kriva Bhagavan Mamabhi Dudaiva Medrishami Hajani Anuragaham Tanarabhi Shunichena Tanarabhi Sahishana Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari
నతనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవిదాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదార్ భక్తి హరీ దుహిత్వే మంగళనం జగింగరం పతితామం శమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళీ సదృశం విచిందయ నయనం గళద సుధారయా వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదా బభూ తవ నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే అశేష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాతు నమః మల్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు మే నమః.
So, when we were saying Bhudagasham is this space, why is it called Bhudagasham? Because it belongs to Panchabhudam. It's the part of the Panchabhudam it is, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether, fire. That ether is that thing. Ether is the Bhudagasham. Bhudagasham is the ether. So, Bhudagasham is the most gross form. Inside the Bhudagasham, or in other words, it's not the space that's important here. Space is not anymore meaningful anymore. Because Bhudagasham is what we are perceiving through the senses. Do you see that? Bhudagasham is what we are perceiving through the senses. What we are perceiving through the mind is Chittagasham. Chittagasham. So, this is, you cannot compare Chittagasham with Bhudagasham. Chittagasham is not inside Bhudagasham. Bhudagasham is inside Chittagasham. Do you get that? Chittagasham is the mind. And Chittagasham is the mind. When you look through the senses, you think that Chittagasham is small and Bhudagasham is big. That is from the dimensional point of view you are looking at it. It's a different way of looking things here. Here, the subtle world inside, which is the Chittagasham, is bigger than the Bodhagasham. And the Bodhagasham. If you go beyond the Chittagasham, is what is known as spiritual sky, which is Chidagasham. Which is called Chidagasham. Where there is Chitshakti. So these three skies exist. Chidagasham, Chittagasham and Bodhagasham. Remember, if you have heard this Prabhupada's explanation to chanting the holy name, that album is there. And that is in relationship with the I think it is in the Guru Ashtakam prayers. He mentions there surpassing the mind, sensual, mental and intellectual, he's saying there. Remember that?
Yes.
You know that. You heard that. While chanting about the holy name, Prabhupada is talking about it. Surpassing the sensual, mental, intellectual. What does that mean? Sensual is this Bodhagasham. And mental and intellectual is the Chittagasham. And surpassing that is the Chidagasham. That is what is spoken in English in a different way. That's all. The substance is the same. Substance is the same. So, what Prabhupada is saying there is that by chanting the holy name, you transcend all these different skies. And go into the innermost sky, which is the largest sky, which is the Chidagasham. Chidagasham is the largest sky. Often you will see devotees discussing this, in the sense that they say that Krishna is saying the in the Bhagavad Gita there is a verse, Parastasmastu Bhavanyo Vyakta Vyaktar Sanadana Esa Sarveshu Bhudeshu Nashyat Sudha Vinashyati. he also talks about material world is only a quarter of the spiritual world. That is the statement in it, isn't it? So we immediately start thinking in terms of dimensions. So dimensions and all that is only because of the presence of the senses. Otherwise dimensions have no meaning. So all these subtle world, what we are talking about, spiritual world, spiritual, all that is situated in the Chidakasham. All that is situated in the Chidakasham. It is not in the Chittakasham, it is not in the Bhudakasham, it is in the Chidakasham. In the Chidakasham. That is why it is subtle. That's why it is subtle. All planets, for example, Gandharva's planets, Vidyadhara's planets, so many planets mentioned there, isn't it? Whereas normally what would you do? We'll imagine, where are all these planets? You'd like to go and have a look at least these places. Is it not? So when self, if you look at the second canto, you will see there is a Kramamukti and Sadhyomukti, two things spoken. Kramamukti and Sadhyomukti. Kramamukti means gradual liberation. And Sadhyomukti means instantaneous liberation. Sadhyomukti is instantaneous liberation. So, Kramamukti, gradual liberation, when it happens, you go through all the planets, demigods planets, and similarly Gandharva's planets, all the upper planetary systems, you pass through all of them before you come to the spiritual, real spiritual world, where you enter into spiritual world. So that is what is called Kramamukti. So that Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti, you have to understand it this way. Not that when I leave this body, I'll be going to another planet somewhere else in the Bhudakasham to experience the life in another heavenly planets, what it's like. So normally what happens to all of us is that when you do not know this side of it, that the subtlety of this, you start imagining in your mind, where is these planets, different places. All what you look up, you're only seeing the empty planets, Mars, Moon and other places. And where on earth are all the other places? You immediately ask that question, is it not? Gandharva's planets. And also, if you remember, when Narasimhamurti appeared, Prahlada pacified him first, after killing Hiranyakashipu. And after that, there's a number of other people who had come to pacify him. If you read, Kinnaras, Charanas, Gandharvas, and the demigods, Devadas, there's so many mentioned there. Where do they all live? In which world are they living? They live in the Chidakasham. Chidakasham means they are not reached the spiritual world, but they are in the subtle world. In the subtle world they live. They all live there. So, Gandharva Lokam and all other creation is in this Chidakasham, all other worlds. And because it is in the world, not exactly in the Chidakasham, it is in the Chittakasham. All these worlds are existing. It is in the Chittakasham, it is existing. And that because it is in the Chittakasham, that also is not permanent. Like Bhudakasham is not permanent, isn't it? We know it's not permanent. Once you have gone from here, this world doesn't exist for us. Does not. Once we have gone, left this gross body, then this world does not exist for us. World does not exist for us. We go to the probably the higher level, to the higher planets, to Mendel, which is under Chittakasham, in that Chittakasham. And in that Chittakasham, when you go further subtle, much more subtle there, much more in the Bodham, in awareness, that creation is called the Chittakasham. And it is not anymore a gross manifestation like this, what we are experiencing now. And that state is beyond duality. And there is no time and there is no space. That's the only way you can explain that Chidakasham. Chidakasham is spoken in that way. No time, no space. And also Advayam. Advayam means no duality there. No duality, no time, no space. That is why you will notice there that in the Bhagavatam when it's spoken, it mentions like this, Vadandita Tattvavidam Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam. Advayam. No duality present there. Brahmeti Paramatmani Bhavani Shabde. And he said, that Chidakasham is me, says Astamalaya. That Chidakasham is me. And in that Chidakasham, all these planets are present. Which one? The sun, the moon, the stars, all of them are present. And because they are present in there, they are present in there, it appears to us that they are all existing. In the gross eyes, they are existing for us at the moment. How are we experiencing the reality of their existence? Because they are present in the Chidakasham. It's a very subtle thing, all these things. Only the realized souls, they can tell us these things. It is in agreement with the everything from all jnanis have the same thing to say. Only thing is you have to accept it, that's all. Because we haven't got the access to that. That's what he is saying here. That vivasval prabhadam yadharupam aksham pragrahnadi nabhadam evam vivasvan yadhabhadam abhasayat aksham egam sanityobaladdi surubaham alma. Surubham alma. In other words, yadhabhadi tabhavayadi aksham egaha. So in this sun, this moon, these stars, they are all present in the Chidakasham as well. They are all present in the Chidakasham as well. But because it is in the Chidakasham, which is the Chit Shakti sky, therefore they are all getting that power from the Chit Shakti to illuminate the sun, the moon, the stars. If Chit Shakti is not there, Chidakasham is not there, you won't experience the presence of the sun, the moon and the stars as we are experiencing now. In our Chidakasham, they are all present there. The sun is present, the moon is present. And that is why we are able to experience the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. Sun. And as Samaraya says there, that Chidakasham is me, and is that Chidakasham, they are also present in there. So, by whose presence the sun is getting illuminated? And by whose presence alone all my senses are getting activated? That Purna Vastu, completely Purnam is perfect. Who? That Chidakasham is perfect. Perfect means he doesn't require anything. Sun requires help. Otherwise he can't get illumination from on his own. Because of his presence only, sun is appeared to have a planet with lot of illumination coming from the sun. Because of whose presence? Chidakasham present there. And similarly, Chidakasham's present in us is due to that, our mind, senses, intelligence, everything operating. Because of that. So, Nityobalabdi Surubaham Alma, and Hastamalai is saying there, that Vastu is permanently available to all of us. We all have got it. And that is an important statement. Why? Because it is not going to happen later. If you don't have it now, you are not going to have it later. And if you have got it now, you are never going to lose it. This is the important thing. That is why this line is repeated all the time. Nityobalabdi, Nityobalabdi, Nityobalabdi. To firm it up inside us. To firm it up. To get ourselves established in that. Nityobalabdi. It's all. See, Vedantam point of view is, if you don't have it now, you're not going to have it later either. Never in the future. But what you have got it now, it will always, you will have it. You're never going to lose it either. This important thing. If you have got it now, you're never going to lose it. If you haven't got it now, you're not going to get it. That's the important principle. All Vedanti conclusions are based on this. What Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Na sado vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. That's why that verse is so important. It brings a huge, big truth behind all our existence in there. So, and that is our swarupam. That is our swarupam, and that we cannot lose it. That awareness, bodham. Another word, Chidakasham. Another word for the same. That Chidakasham is that bodham inside. So, in that Chidakasham, there is no ragam, no dvesham. No kamam, no krodham. No asuya, envy. None of them is present in the Chidakasham. Remember, Krishna says this to us. Where is ragadvesham? Ragadvesham is in the mind. Is it not? It's in the mind. So, what are we trying to wipe out from us? We are trying to wipe out the gross body first, in our realizations. Wipe out the gross body first, and then Chittakasham has to go, which includes Ragadvesham, Kamam Krotham, Lobham Moham, Madam Malsaryam, Asuya, all other bad things. That is what we are purifying. Purifying the mind means purifying this Chittakasham. But in Chidakasham, they are also not present. They are present in the Chittakasham, not present in the Chidakasham. Chidakasham is completely pure. Totally pure that is. Totally pure that is. So, and that is what Asamalaga is saying here, that pure Chidakasham is me. Is me. And though, in other words, what he is expecting us is to meditate on this understanding properly. That always to talk to ourselves, that when anger comes, where is it coming? Who is experiencing it? Asking this question. When similarly frustration comes in life, who is getting frustrated? Atma is not never getting frustrated. It's all happening to the ahankaram and to our the ragadvesham, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, everything. If you keep on analyzing this way, what will happen is you can rise above that. You can transcend them. Because as soon as you ask that question, ahankaram will tell you, will disappear. It will go away. Because it's not real. It's a false thing that's happening inside. Only mistake is I'm identifying with it and suffering from that. So that we have to keep into account and notice when you read this Samalaga Gita. Samalaga's point is this, that one who has gone beyond Buddhagasham and the Chittagasham, and one who has reached that Chittagasham state, that is how it is. Therefore, when the family members and others were expecting him to respond, he was not able, he was not responding to them, is it not? And they were thinking that poor child, he is not, mentally retarded or not developed properly, and they were trying to bring him into Buddhagasham. They were trying to pull him from Chittagasham to Buddhagasham, Chittagasham to Buddhagasham. But child won't come, how can he come? How can he come from there? He has left this long ago and gone to the other world. So, that is why, so to, for us to take notice that. And then in the next verse you will see. Yadha surya mekop ekop sunegas chalasu thirasatpenanna vibhavya surupam chalasu prabhinnasu dhishweva meka sanityobalabdhi surupoham alma. Yadha surya mekop sunegas chalasu Thirasyatna nagvik vibhavya surupam chalasu prabhinna sudhishu evameka sanityovalabdhi surupoham alpa. That Dhyovalabdhi surupoham alpa. One son one son is present in water in different places. In different places. And water is moving. Chalasu apsu. He says there. See that? Chalasu prabhinyasu dhishu eva mega. Then, sirasu apyamanyuk vibhavya surupam. Chalasu prabhinyasu dhishu eva mega. So, nityobarabdi suruboham alma. When the water is moving, you may see there is one sun there and there is another sun somewhere else. Because of the movement of the water. Movement of the water. Suppose you have different tanks built. In each tank, the sun will reflect. In each water tank, wherever you have built a water tank, the sun will reflect. So, the same one sun, when the water is moving in these different tanks, say the water is moving, one sun is reflecting in so many different tanks of water. Now imagine that the water in these different tanks are moving, what will happen? You will see the sun is moving in every tank in different ways. So, sthirasupyanasam vibhavya surubhaha. So, when the water is steady, you will see this only one sun. Whereas if the water is moving, you will see so many different suns playing around in all the different waters. Evam chalashu dishu. Similarly, what Asavala is saying here is that if our buddhi or the mind is always in a movement, that means there is chitavritti going on in the mind, or thought waves are developing inside our intelligence, if they are moving, the Atma, which is reflecting in the vasana, it becomes ahangaram. It becomes ahangaram. That is how ahangaram is born. If the mind is not moving, there is no movement inside the mind, and there is no movement in the intelligence, there won't be any ahangaram. There won't be any ahangaram. When the mind is moving, intelligence is moving, that means there is work or some action is happening there in the mind. Sometimes like you can say thought waves are coming, that means your mind is active. Or because of the action in the mind, there is changes in the intelligence also. Intelligence is dependent on the mind, isn't it, together. Manasa sangalpa vigalpa manam. Nishayalpiya buddhi. This is the definition. If you study Tattvabodham, it will say there. That if there is any vibrations in the mind, it will have its effect on the intelligence also. There will be vibrations in the intelligence. So if there is any vibrations in the mind, and if there is any vibrations in the intelligence, Atma will reflect in them in such a way that ahangaram is born. That is when ahangaram takes birth. Ahangaram takes birth. So then otherwise, if there is no movement, mind is so in a shanti state, and there is no movement of the intelligence, no chalanam there, there won't be any ahangaram. There won't be any ahangaram. Rishis have gone such finer levels to tell us this. And it appears to us that when there is present insight, or the movement of the mind, or the intelligence happens, it is at that time that this Atma is reflecting in that, and then the ahangaram is born. Ahangaram is born. And so that is why they are saying to us that when that such a reflection happens of the Andaryami into the Chittam, or in the both mind and the intelligence, it appears as though that ahangaram is also changing. Because of the changes happening in the mind and the intelligence, it changes our movement of the ahangaram also. It affects the movement of the ahangaram. So, the false ego's changes is due to the change in the mind and the intelligence. Yeah? These are all Vedantic truths. It's if you study the Prakarana Grantham, Viveka Chudamani and all, you will see all these things spoken very openly. Then, where is this changes happening? Changes happening in the mind, thought waves, and in the intelligence. And both of them, when they are having these vibrations inside, Andaryami reflects in them and ahangaram is born, ahangaram is present. And because mind is wavering, intelligence is wavering, ahangaram is also wavering. It's also changing. That's why you can see our ahangaram, how it affects us, isn't it? In different ways. Sometimes when the ahangaram is very strong, you identify very strongly with certain things and you feel very close identity with that. But if the mind is in a shanti state without any thought waves, and intelligence also is in a shanti state, there is no possibility of that identification within us. So, it is on. So, therefore, they are saying that try to control that mind. If you can control the mind and the intelligence, then the chances of ahangaram building up is not there. It's not there. Or keep that water. Mind and the intelligence is the water where it's reflecting, isn't it? So, if you keep that water steady without movement, then what they call it, the stillness. It's still the still water. Then there won't be much more reflection of this in there, and ahangaram won't be there, and therefore Patanjali says there in Yoga Sutram, Yogam Chittavritti Nirodham. yoga chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti nirodham is called yoga. That is the reason. Ahangaram you can't control. Chittavritti you have to control. If you control the chittavritti, block the chittavritti inside, that is why they say that those who are in the spiritual path, they have to bring down the vyavaharam as much as possible. As much as possible to bring the vyavaharam down. That is the only way you can bring the chittavritti down. Suppose you are completely 24 hours occupied with all business and all sorts of activities in this world. It's very difficult. And then you are chanting your 16 rounds also with that. And you are following your four regulative principles also. And you are asking, why am I not going back to the spiritual world? What will you answer? You are so busy, absorbed in the world, that the chittavritti is created inside. So that is why ahangaram, if you allow ahangaram to build up inside, and then any sadhana what you execute, it will have ahangaram is executing that sadhana. You see the difficulty there. You see the difficulty. That's why ahangaram has a big role in spiritual life. That without that ahangaram, if we can execute sadhana, that sadhana will be beneficial, lot beneficial. But with ahangaram, if we execute the sadhana, that ahangaram, that sadhana also won't give any, particularly any benefit. It will be another 2 hours or 3 hours, whatever you have spent on that. It's a big problem actually, because when we come to spiritual life, we are unable to, you know, like in our, in the Bhagavatam it is spoken very well, that you have tied your boat in this world and you want to travel, but boat is tied here. So boat is not moving. Boat is stuck here, isn't it? So any amount of, what do you call?
Rowing
won't help. Any amount of rowing won't help because boat is tied here strongly. So now you can see why vairagyam they are talking about. So somehow or the other, if you untie this, where it is tied strongly, then the chances are the boat will start moving a little bit. But if the boat is tied very strongly here, anchored here, then any amount of power you use to row the boat away, you will still, after rowing the whole day, you will see the boat is still there where it was before. So that is why it mentions like that. So when the intelligence is still, mind is still, then if you have come to that stillness, then there is no mind or intelligence anymore. So there is no thing called mind which is still, because we will say still mind, we say like that, but still mind is no mind. You see that? Still mind is not a mind. You can't call it as a mind anymore if the mind is still. So, like it will be like you say hot ice cream. If you say hot ice cream, it doesn't mean anything, isn't it? There's no hot ice cream. Ice cream is expected to be cold. So similarly, if you say mind is like that, if you say still mind, it's not a mind anymore. It is gone from the, it is born away from the mind. It says like that, Nahi chanchalada chittam manakvajana vidyade chanchalattam manodharmaha vabheda dharma yathoshnadaha. Excessive heat means that so just like fire has got this character of heat, similarly the character of the mind is to keep changing, to keep changing, changing, changing all the time, isn't it? Always changing. Actually, it is a disturbance inside. You remember in the modern world, we say we are improving things by changing. Prabhupada used to get so disgusted with it, with the devotees. They want to change everything. And they change the books also now. Finally, they change that. But this disease, he noticed from the very beginning. When the Prabhupada had first time came into contact with the devotees, he noticed this disease in the people. Among the people, particularly among devotees. So he, Prabhupada will say something and they'll come up with some edition 1 or revision 1, revision 2. They kept on changing like this. So one day he asked this to the devotees who were with him. He says, why do you keep changing this? Everything you need to change, is it? He was asking this. You will see in the conversation many times, Prabhupada mentioning this, that this changing nature in us. We feel something is not perfect, so we change. This is not due to imperfection. It's due to imperfection inside our mind. We want to change. Mind is, very nature of the mind is like that. Mentioned. So then we start developing. Spiritual life also we have started that. Developing in new, different formats, in different ways we want to present it to the world. All these things. So that is due to the, that is the nature of the mind. It's the nature of that mind who is changing everything. Just like Agni, fire has got this heat, similarly mind has to continuously change. And when it comes into complete quiet stage, still stage, it is not any more mind, or it is Alma. It is Alma at that time. So, when somebody asked this question to Ramana Maharshi, and his answer was, you're saying that there is nothing separated from the soul. Separated from the soul, nothing is existing. Then what is mind then? They asked this question. Maharshi said to him, self, when it is extroverted, it's called mind, he said. When the self is extroverted, it is mind. It is mind. And when the mind is introverted, it is self. See that? When the self goes into the world, in other words, it becomes mind. When the mind goes inwards, it becomes a self. When it goes into the world, it becomes a mind. Actually, there's only self. See, this thing called mind, nobody is able to understand this, isn't it? Mind is a big topic. Lot of discussions about the mind. And you will find many interesting things about this mind, how the modern science is looking at. And why Vedantam is totally against the modern sciences. You are studying the mind with the mind. So it won't work. It won't work. It simply won't work. You can give some, lot of names for lot of mental diseases. Bipolar disorder, and then depressions, and various names they have given to different illnesses. And we even devotees and have got problems with this kind of diseases, bipolar disorder and all, whatever they have named. But there is no real remedy for it. Because the way mind operates is beyond our understanding. And sometimes devotees who have understood mind, in the sense that who have studied the mind, psychologists and psychiatrists are their devotees, they are trying to understand from the Vedic viewpoint and their psychiatry what they have studied in the college, university. They are trying to compare and come to some terms with it, but they are not able to. Because they are on two different planes. Psychiatry and everything is what these psychiatrists have written, like Freud and Carl Gustav Jung and all these big names. And they have come to those conclusions with their own mind. It's not from self-realization that they have spoken. Whereas the rishis are telling us, they have studied the mind after going beyond the mind. They have understood what the mind is. When they have come out of the mind. So what they say about the mind is more accurate than what the psychiatrists are saying about the mind. Psychiatrists, what they have done, they have defined this kind of problem, symptoms, if you see in the mind, it's bipolar disorder. And if you have got so many diseases are spoken, if you Google, you will see there are mentions about that. But all that is no significance because it's all within the mind, it's happening. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.